CMN Network, MI3. MI3 Network. CMN Network. This is the CMN Network, MI3. CMN Network, 220.
CQ, CQ, CQ. Good evening. This is AC9HO. My name is Kurt, and I am calling the LaPorte County Amateur Radio Club Net Into session. I am located just south of the city of LaPorte, and I will be in net control for this session of LaPorte County Amateur Radio Club Information Net. Is there any emergency traffic? If so, please call now.
CMN Network, MI3.
Nothing heard. If there is emergency traffic at any time during this net, please jump in by saying emergency, and net control will stop the net to handle the traffic. To all that are listening, if an emergency is announced, please stop all traffic and let net control handle the emergency. The club call signs are K9JSI and W9LY. Our repeaters are the 146970 W9LY VHF FM analog, all star connected, node 63952. Echo link connected, node 193001. And DMR talk group connected, 31146 on the TGIF network. Located at Schultz Road 35 North at the tower site. 160-foot concrete tower. Then we have the 146.610 K9JSI VHF FM analog located at the tower, located on a 300-foot tower near Summit Farm on the corner of Johnson Road and 500 West. Then we have the 441.950 W9LY UHF FM analog C4FM wires X connected located at the tower at Schultz Road and Highway 35 North. This net meets every Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Central Time here on the 146970 repeater, negative 600 offset, with a DL tone of 131.8. We would like to thank the LaPorte County Amateur Radio Club for the use of the repeater at this time. In case of repeater malfunction or disruption, all amateur radio operators are instructed to move to the K9JSI repeater, 146.610, negative offset, DL tone of 131.8. And await instructions from Net Control. If you would like more information about the club or the repeaters, please visit the website at lpcarc.org. If you're interested in seeing the check-ins live during the net, sign into netcontrol.live and look for LPCARC Information Net. We use this logger to log the check-ins, and there is a live text chat for everyone to use as well. With the live text chat, it's almost like having two nets at the same time. All we ask is that you check into the net via the radio, since getting radioactive is the point of having the net. NetControl.live is a browser-based program for net logging and works on all computers or phones with a browser. There is a video on the website to help set up an account. If you need assistance, you can ask on the net, and we can try to help. Look forward to seeing you on netcontrol.live. For the check-in portion of the net, I will ask for club officer check-ins first, followed by short-timer mobile stations. Then I will go through the netcontrol.live list. After that, I will ask for general check-ins for the remainder of the net. At the end of the net, I will be asking for anybody wishing to sell, trade, donate, or look for any amateur radio-related items on the swap and shop session. All licensed amateur radio operators are invited to check into this net. This is a directed net. Please give me your call sign, name, and location when checking in. When I acknowledge each station, I will ask if they have anything for the net. Anything for the net, any topic or question, or even the radio and antenna you are currently operating, or even a radio check if that's what you prefer. If you wish to make additional comments or connect with another check-in during the net, you can do so by saying comment or questions with your call sign and wait for net control. I will now take check-ins from any current club officers. Current club officers, please call now. I will now take check-ins from mobile or short-time stations. Mobile or short-time stations, please call now. Alright, I think I got two stations in there. I did not get one of them, but I did get K9PGC John, the club vice president. John, do you have anything for the net?
Good evening, Kurt, and everybody else out there. I'm still south of the email. Somebody else is broken down on the road here, but we got something working for them. Anyhow, there's that. And I want to put the word out and the many thanks to those that showed up to the tailgate HamFest, those that helped work. If nothing else, it was a very enjoyable day show for myself. I got to figure out something to say to those 30 minutes. Okay, I'm good. So anyway, that's all I got, Kurt. I could give you a quick use of information at this point.
Okay, yeah, John, you're dropping a repeater just a little bit there. We caught probably 98% of what you said there. So did you say, though, that you have useless information at the moment?
Yes, I do. I could put that out, and it probably won't even take 3 minutes.
Yeah, okay. Your signal should get better as I assume you're pedaling toward LaPorte, so let's go ahead and give it a shot. Because you dropped out maybe two times in that little transmission, but only for a split second. So go ahead and give her a shot there, John. AC9HO net control. Over to you.
Hi, Kurt. This is C9HO. I'm heading away from the port right now. It's probably closing a little bit. But under your information, that beautiful stuff we call bubble wrap. You know, it originally was to be a fancy wallpaper. And the guys that invented the process, slightly by accident, they kept on trying to figure out ways to market said product. And then one day IBM, experimenting with different ways of packaging their mainframe, actually figured out that they could use that to wrap the mainframe computers with. But up until that point, that was something useless. But because of the fashion trend, it should have sold as wallpaper, believe it or not. So that goes, 1960, something. Anyway, a little bit of useless information that you could see in 1960.
All right, John. Yeah, you were in there the whole time that time. That's good. I had no idea that bubble wrap was supposed to be a wallpaper. That's pretty cool. Well, thank you for that, John, and appreciate you doing that. Wow, Bicycle Mobile. So that's pretty good. We got you in there as a check-in. Thank you for checking in. thank everybody that came out to the Tailgate Ham Fest this last weekend. We had a good event, I think. It doubled more than last year, and so hopefully we can double again next year. So we all had a good time. Weather was pretty good. We appreciate everybody that came out to help. There will be mentions to everybody in the newsletter coming up for August here pretty soon. So I better get busy, I guess. But, yeah, thank you. I appreciate everybody's help as well. Thank you very much. And thanks for all the vendors that came out. And thanks to all the buyers, too. So definitely need more of both. And concessions was a pretty big hit. We had pulled pork and coleslaw, baked beans, a drink, and a cookie for $8. So pretty good deal there. And we have big plans for concessions in February as well. So, and concessions again next year at the Tailgate Ham Fest, so stay tuned. AC9HO Net Control. Again, John, thanks for checking in. Bicycle safely out there. All right, any other mobile or short time stations, please call now.
KD9HAY, short time.
KE9ALK, short time.
All right, we got KD9HAY and KE9ALK. It almost sounded like he was in a swimming pool. KD9HAY, Hayden, do you have anything for the net?
KD9HAY. Good evening there, Kurt. Thanks for taking the net. Good time seeing everybody at the tailgate swap meet, and I hope everyone was able to either sell or buy whatever you were trying to do that day, but I picked up a couple things, and like I said, it was good to see everybody, and it was great food. I enjoyed that, and guess it could have been a little cooler, but the weather was pretty good nonetheless. But other than that, we'll send it back to net control, 89HJY.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think if it was a day like today, that would have made it all that more perfect. But, yeah, good time. Appreciate you being out there, Hayden, giving a hand with me at the entrance, taking money and handing out tickets. We did give away 3 ARRL coupons, $225 and $150. That wasn't really expected until the week before when John received them in an email. So it was kind of an extra bonus there for everybody coming in. So again, Hayden, thank you for checking in. Have yourself a good evening and a good rest of your week, and drive safely out there tonight. All right, next we have KE9ALK Thomas. Do you have anything for the net?
Greetings, everyone. I am on Echo Link here from Sylvania Wilderness in Upper Peninsula, Michigan, on the shores of Clark Lake. And just wanted to check in and say hello. And yeah, the Ham Fest tailgate party was an awesome time. I really enjoyed helping out. And back to net control. 89ALK.
All right, Thomas. Yeah, we can hear the waves hitting the shore there. That's pretty cool. Enjoy your trip out there. That Echo Link's working very well for you. You sounded very good. We appreciate you being out there helping out as well. And the concessions area gave Chris a big help there, I'm sure. And I look forward again to next year. Concessions, it seems that was a bigger hit than we expected. That pulled pork was something. That was really good. Again, Thomas, thank you. Have yourself a safe trip. Enjoy the trip. And, yeah, feel free to send me pictures. I like that. Have a good one. Thanks again for checking in. Have a good evening and a good rest of your week. All right. Any other mobile or short time? Is that where I'm at? Yeah, mobile or short time stations one more time. AC9HO Net Control. Okay, I'm going to go to the netcontrol.live list, and first on the list we have KD9DYD. Rob, Do you have anything for the Met?
Good evening. Robin Walkerton. Sorry I missed the tailgate. I just got back from spending a week out in Nebraska at something called the Nebraska Star Party, where it's sort of amateur astronomers getting together, taking advantage of the low light conditions and clear sky. So that was fun, but I just couldn't make it over there. Nothing else. Enjoying the nice weather right at the moment. And back to you, KV92IT.
Okay, Rob, very good. Yeah, no big deal. That sounds like you had a really good time out there. And there's always next year. So if you're not busy, because I can't say it's going to be around the same time, because it's still in its infancy, so we need to find the best time of year that works for this possibly growing tailgate hamfest. So we'll see. Maybe in July, may not be. We'll see. All right, Rob, have a good evening, good rest of your week, and thank you for checking in. Next we have KE9BBB. Josh, do you have anything for the next?
If you avoid that, I'll be around. Back to you, Net Control.
Uh-oh. I might have, you might have doubled with me. Try that again, Rob.
Yeah, the Star Party event is focused on new moon periods, so just maybe if you set the tailgate to be not during a new moon, might be in good shape.
Okay. Yeah, we'll have to make sure we look at that. All right, Rob. Thanks again. Have yourself a good evening. Good rest of your week. All right, KE9BBB. Josh, do you have anything for the net?
Good evening, Kurt, and everybody on the net. Hope everybody's doing good. Not much. I just I ordered a new antenna. I hopefully should be here this weekend, by this weekend. It's a aero antenna for satellites, so I'm getting into satellites. And so yeah, it's aero antenna, Yagi. I was looking at that or the Elk. They're both really good at what reviews I've seen. And Elk might be a little bit easier to use because it's not really a, I guess they call it a long periodic antenna. But yeah, I'm going to try it out and start doing satellites. I've been following that FM satellites and ISS passes here at the house in my base with my GP9. I got in, people heard my, made my first contact off of it. Thought it was official though, because he never came back to me. They called my call sign back twice, and I recorded it, and then, they gave me a grid square, or they copied my grid square, so that's pretty cool. It was, Massachusetts and Maine. So that's what I got going on.
All right, very good. Yeah, that's a pretty good trip on 2 meter simplet. Well, it's kind of 2 meter, probably a repeater, the space station repeater, I'm guessing. But yeah, I've made exactly one contact via satellite. I do have one of those Elk antennas that I've used exactly one time. Well, I should say I made one contact. I've had it out in the yard a few times. Tracking the space station and other satellites, but yeah, it's good stuff. I don't think you would be unhappy with either one of those antennas. I think they'll both work just fine for what you plan to do. So yeah, keep us up to date on that and let us know how that aero antenna is working out for you. I have a BTEC UV Pro, and it actually has a setup or satellite feature in the radio where it will actually, because as the satellite is flying over, the frequency actually changes. So it will adjust the frequency automatically, which may be what you were saying about your radio, automatically as it flies over. I have not tried that radio yet, but I need to. And with you and Thomas talking about satellites, I'm really getting the bug, but Yeah, I got to get out there. I got to quit making excuses. So, Josh, that radio you were talking about, does it track it and change the frequency as it goes by?
No, I just been using this Yaesu, my base station right now, the STM-150 mobile. I really don't know if it's still full duplex. I'm still having issues trying to figure that out. I still can't hear myself on downlink, and to answer your question, I haven't set up in here every 5 hertz for the downlink, so I just manually turn it. When the station starts to fade, and I look at the path to see where he is, and then where the satellite is, and then I move it down 5 hertz. I don't know. I'm gonna try it with this one or just 2 HTs right now. I bought the one without a duplexer because that's the only bad thing about the Aero. It's only limited to 10 watts. Duplexer, which is okay, I guess, but eventually, once I find a dual band or a full duplex radio for it, because I'm going to get a chest rig and have a whole mobile setup on me, and then I'll get a Diamond or a Comet duplexer that's rated for more power.
All right, well, keep in mind, satellites require 10 watts or less, and I think they actually suggest 5 watts. You don't need power for a satellite. As a matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken, it can actually kind of damage the satellite if you put too much power to it. But I could be mistaken on that. But I do know they don't want you putting 50 watts or more, or even more than 10 watts. I think 10 is the max.
Yeah, you're correct on. I don't know. Don't quote me either. For FM, for sure. But I think if you get in linear, like single sideband, 2 meter single sideband and stuff for linear satellites, I think you can run more power. I believe. So that's kind of why. And then also, I can use it as a Yagi antenna for single sideband. They are also, I didn't want to limit 10 watts of that, so like I can go up for a VHF contest and go put that up, 20 feet in the air and use that also if I do. Plus, that was my thinking for the 10 watts, limiting myself for 10 watts. Plus, this Yaesu radio only does low power, I'm reading like 3 watts coming out, but I don't know. But yeah, that's why I'm thinking, that's why I didn't get the duplexer. I'm just going to eventually get my own duplexer and put it in there.
Okay, very good. Yeah, that could be 100% true. I'd have to look into it. I don't know enough about it, about the single sideband. So, yeah, but that's a great idea. Also, if you want to do like simplex work with that Yagi out in the parks or whatever, be really cool. You get on a Summit we don't have any around here, but if you're traveling, get on a Summit, take that thing with you. Boy, you get real far with that. I've heard of guys making hundreds of mile contacts simplex just with a rubber duck on top of a mountain, so that's cool stuff. All right, well, keep us informed how those activities are going. We all are interested in hearing that kind of stuff, so Josh, good luck with that. Thank you for checking in. Have a good evening and a good rest of your week. All right, that completes the netcontrol.live list as I currently have it. So, it's that time. General check-ins. Anybody, anywhere. This is AC9HO Net Control. Please call now.
901.
On the previous discussion.
Yeah, go ahead, Rob, with the comment, and I got you in there, Bob, and I know RLM. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, I just thought it was interesting you guys talking about communicating up there. We were out west. We would see the ISS go by every 90 minutes or so, and it was pretty bright, but it would go by pretty quick, but it was sort of interesting, that along with tons of satellites that were going by. It's crazy. contacting net control.
I can only imagine where you were at, how easily you could see that stuff. That'd be really cool. But, yeah, that's why it's hard to make a contact via satellite, because what is it, an average of less than 10 minutes from horizon to horizon, depending on where it's at, you know? So, yeah, and everybody in the, not even immediate area, but everybody's trying to get on there at the same time. But it's really cool stuff. And something else I forgot to mention, too, Josh, is your, you know, full duplex is not doing what it should, which I believe is the case. I don't think that's a full duplex radio. My first contact I made without full duplex. I didn't hear myself. I didn't use a second radio. I just went by, as long as my receive was clear, I assumed my transmit was clear. So, I mean, you can try it without having to hear yourself. It just probably makes it easier. But, yeah, Rob, that would be cool to go out somewhere like that and look at the sky. I love looking at the sky. I need to do more of that, too. All right. Thank you for that, Rob. Do you have anything else, Rob?
That's enough for now.
All righty. Thank you. Next, we have N9ROM. Bob, do you have anything for the net?
N9ROM, Bob, report. Good evening, Kurt. Thanks for doing the net. Hello to everybody out there. I do not have nothing for the net, but speaking about what we had with the Hamfest, that was great. Great team effort. Everything was really nice, and weather was good. So great turnout. So with that said, I'm going to back on out, turn it back over to you. So this is N9ROM. Good evening.
All right, Bob, yes, and thank you to you as well for being out there and doing all that you did shortly after a surgery. So props to you. I did not expect you to be out there as long as you were, working as hard as you did. So much appreciated for everything you did before, during, and probably after. I'm sure you did something. So we appreciate it, Bob. Have a good one. Thanks for checking in. Have a good evening and a good rest of your week. All right, anybody, anywheres, this is AC9HO Net Control. Please call now.
N9YOU.
MI3 Network.
Okay, I think I heard a double there, but I think I picked out somebody. So if I didn't call your call sign, try again after these two gentlemen. First, we have N9YOU and N9VSN, I think I heard during that double. N9YOU, Brian, do you have anything for the net?
Well, thanks, Kurt. This is N9YOU. Had fun at the Tailgate Hamfest. It was a blast. A lot of camaraderie in that, and just all in all, just fun. Even though we kind of got had to pack up a little earlier than we probably wanted to, but it was either that or get drenched, one of the two. So, to say what Josh was talking about, I also hear what I think. Day or two ago, I think. Can't remember now. I also made a contact. I called out to W1AW Stroke 3. And he came back to me. And, I didn't hear myself either. Even when I'm just, you know, throwing my call out there, I still don't hear myself. But, you know, I know I'm getting out. It's just, it just might be weak or something, too. Who knows? That's been fun, too, and I guess I might start getting into that, too, unfortunately, along with other things. Go figure. But anyways, I had a good time in that, and break for a second.
And also, John, if you're still out there, thanks for putting the whole thing on for the tailgate. And the food was awesome. I can't say enough about it. Food was great. And I just can't wait to see what's lined up food-wise for the cabin fever. So, anyways, I think that's about it. Back to you, Kurt. And thanks again for running the net. And YOU.
Okay, Brian, well, thank you for being a vendor there, and thanks for following me up the tower just to push a button. Oh, I felt that for 2 days in my calves, but it was worth it. It was better than having to go up there Sunday. I wound up not doing anything on Sunday. And I second your comment to John. Just in case anybody doesn't know, this is John, KA9PGC. This is his baby, this tailgate hamfest, and it's taken off, I think, 2 years in. I mean, compared to other hamfests, it's considered small. But the first year, we didn't advertise very much and had a decent turnout. And this year, we advertised quite a bit, and we had a really good turnout. So at least I thought a really good turnout for only the second year. So I really am excited to see where this goes from here. You never know. If it gets big enough, we might end up somewhere maybe like the fairgrounds on the Midway. It will still be an outdoor event, but it'd be on the Midway. So we'll see. That's our goal, but we got to get enough participation to make that happen. So thank you, Brian, again for everything you did at the tailgate and being there and bringing me the flyers, which I did make right, even though I forgot them. My beloved wife brought them to me, and I made sure I got everybody covered. So everybody that was there got a flyer, whether they wanted one or not, for the Elkhart East Hamfest coming up August 1st. Anyway, Brian, thanks for checking in. Have a good evening and a good rest of your week. All right, now we have N9VSN, as long as I heard correctly. Paul? Do you have anything for the net?
Good evening, Kurt, and the rest of the net. I don't really have anything for the good of the club. Just kind of busy over here. Sorry, I kind of make the tailgate test, but I don't really tolerate it. Well, ever since I've had the surgery for some reason. Trying to stay inside and a lot going on this week. And one thing, hang on a second, let me reset it. My church is looking into, they've been asked by the health department about participating in being a place of shelter in case of a disaster, emergency, catastrophe, whatever. So something we're kind of looking into. And I did, suggest that I'm involved with ham radio, so I'm going to see how that goes. But other than that, just aches and pains, and my dog is sick, and took him to the vet yesterday, and they turned me away. They weren't taking walk-ins, so hopefully I could get him in tomorrow, or I have an appointment Friday. Anyway, I won't have the repeater anymore, N9BSN.
All right, Paul, no worries tying up the repeater. That's quite all right. But, yeah, that's cool stuff to have your church as a part of that. And, maybe something ham radio related can come out of that as well. And maybe even put yourself a little station up there with an antenna, a little mobile radio, or even a handheld with an outside antenna. Up in the air as high as you can get it anyway, and be able to communicate even if everything else is not working. So that would be something good to have there. And of course, if you need any help with that, the club members, myself and others can definitely lend a hand, I'm sure. So just keep keep us posted if you need anything, and we'll see what we can do. All right, Paul, well, thank you for checking in. Have yourself a good evening and a good rest of your week, and I hope your dog starts feeling better, and hopefully they get you in there soon. I just can't believe they didn't take walk-ins. That's kind of strange. But vets are almost like going to real doctors anymore. It's crazy. Even they have animal insurance now. I think that's crazy, too, but I get it. That stuff's not cheap. All right, we'll go to more check-ins. This is AC9HO Net Control. Anybody anywhere, please call now.
AD9GY.
W9RKY. W9PRK up here in the UP of Michigan.
KX9RLC. Okay, acknowledging 89GY and 9RKY, W9PRK. Not sure if he's coming through the All-Stars or the Echo Links, but we'll find out. And KX9RLC. Top of the list, 89GY. Mike, do you have anything for the net?
89GY here. Hi, Kurt. Yeah, everything's going pretty good. It's good to come up to the Tailgate Ham Fest. I couldn't stay that long, but it still was good to get out there and see what was going on. And I liked checking out that tower. That was pretty cool. Something not completely ham related, but I saw a movie the other day. People already may know it. It was from 2022. It was called Vertical Freedom, about a documentary about six different antenna tower climbers. Pretty cool. They were doing, you know, a lot of commercial stuff, so some of them were huge, but it was interesting. Other than that, everything's okay here. Yeah, like I said, it was good to see you over at the Ham Fest. So that's it.
Okay, Mike, yeah, very nice meeting you face-to-face. I can't remember if that's our first time. I think it was. And very nice meeting your mother. It was very cool that you brought her along, get her outside, walk around a little bit. But, yeah, appreciate you guys coming out there and walking through the heat. Of course, it wasn't too bad. Definitely wasn't as hot as earlier in the week, thankfully. But, Mike, thank you for checking in. Have yourself a good evening and a good rest of your week. And I'll have to check out that documentary. I have not seen that, so that sounds interesting. And cool thing. All right, thanks for checking in. Have a good evening, good rest of your week once again. Next on the list, we have N9RKY. Todd, do you have anything for the net?
Hello, Kurt, and everybody on the net. Sounding good tonight. I wish I could have made that little gathering there on Saturday, but I'd say all work and no play. I guess maybe I'll make some money so next time we have a fest, if I'm allowed not to work, then I can spend some money instead of making it all. Anyway, it's good hearing you. You sound like you had an excellently fun time. I'm jealous I had to miss out. So, you guys take care. You take care, and everybody else, I'll catch up with you later on. This is N9RKY.
Okay, Todd, very good. Yeah, I guess I should be mentioning that I have not figured out the exact numbers yet. My apologies. I've been crazy busy. But I will have it by the end, before next week for sure. But I believe, I'm almost positive we're in the green after expenses, which is really good. We had, Todd, you know the property pretty well. We filled the property full of cars, and we were running out of room to park people. And then all of a sudden people started leaving, which then made room for more. So it was kind of like a tit for tat, you know, one leave, one come in, one leave, one come in. So it was a really good turnout. So, and, you know, we spent some money with the porta potty and some other expenses, you know, setting the thing up. And to make enough to cover all that and have a little extra. I'm not talking a lot extra, but a little bit extra is really good. Really good, in my opinion. So there's always next year, Todd. Save up your pennies. All right. Have a good one, Todd. Thanks for checking in. Have a good evening and a good rest of your week. Next, we have Rob, W9PRK. Are you Echo Link or All-Star? Do you have anything for the net?
I am All-Star. Yeah, I'm up in Manistique, Michigan right now in the UP, right on, well, right across the street from Lake Michigan on the north side of it. And would have loved to have made the Tailgate Ham Fest. That would have been a blast to come hang out with all you guys. But we're up here doing this. I've activated 6 different parks while I've been up here. Went swimming in Lake Superior, ate a few pasties, and a lot of cooking over the fire, and hanging out and seeing new places and shopping for some land.
Uh-oh, shopping for land. I got that bug once when I went to Tennessee. I was like, yeah, I could move here. So I understand. And honestly, if I had a choice, either up, you know, the UP or the Tailgate, I think the UP would have won. So, and I was thinking you were coming through All-Star because the audio quality, I mean, is just excellent. Through All-Star. I like the digital modes like C4FM, Yaesu, and DMR, D-Star. I like all those. I do. I'm not a huge fan of how they sound. You sound kind of robotic. But, man, Echolink, there's no beating it. I mean, it just sounds great. One of these days, I'm going to have to disconnect my hub and connect the East Coast reflector, like during a net or something, and let everybody hear what All-Star really sounds like. I mean, it sounds amazing. So you had a perfect transmission, no dropouts, no nothing, just sounds great. So, Rob, be safe up there. Have fun. And it sounds like you already are, and I'm a little bit jealous. So drive safe on your way back. And we look forward to hearing you when you get back, or maybe even more throughout the week. How long are you up there? Just the rest of the weekend, or a whole nother week, or what's your time frame?
Well, unfortunately, reality kicks back in this coming Monday, so I will be coming home Sunday. We're going to leave out early Sunday. We're hanging out here in this area. We got some more stuff to do tomorrow, see some sights, and do some things, and of course throw wires up in the air and play radio at a few more parks tomorrow. And we're heading over to Straits State Park, which is right on the north side of the Mackinac Bridge. Only a couple parks right there to activate, but a few things to do, and we'll hang out a little bit, do some fun stuff, and then make that journey home on Sunday morning. And yeah, All-Star, of all of them, I've listened to a little bit of all of them. You don't get that robotic stuff on this. It's, for digital, it's probably my favorite, probably why I run it. But, I am a big fan of it. Yeah, hook up the East Coast Reflector one time. Let people hear that. It's really, really a lot of fun. And turn it back to you from W9PRK.
Okay, Rob. Yeah, enjoy yourself up there. I need to get to Mackinac. I've never been there. I need to do that. But add it to my list of things. But yes, I can't agree more with All-Star. Technically not digital, even though it is through the internet. It is an analog signal. So it uses, for anybody that doesn't know, it uses almost similar to phone over internet. So if you have an internet provider and they gave you a phone with their internet, chances are that's a voice over IP phone, telephone. And All-Star kind of works the same way. That's kind of why it sounds so good. So, at least in my opinion, that's why it sounds so good. I could be wrong. But yes, All-Star is very, very nice and easy to use. And, I mean, you don't have a lot of money to get started in it, but it's going to be at least $100 to get started. So, or just use a repeater for free. So that's one way. All right, Rob, have fun up there, and yeah, keep checking in with us while you're up there or on your way back, and we'll talk soon. Thanks for checking in. Have a good evening and a good rest of your week. Next on the list, we have KX9RLC. Ryan, do you have anything for the net?
Nothing for the net. Laser day off for once. Just thanks for running it.
Okay, Ryan, well, thank you for checking in. Glad you got a day off there. Yeah, you're almost always working on a Wednesday, so good for you, good for you. Good. Any time off of work is good time. That's how I see it. So, all right, Ryan, have a good one. Thank you for checking in. Have a good evening and a good rest of your week. All right, we'll do one more quick call before we get into the information part of the net. This is AC9HO Net Control. Anybody anywhere, check-ins, please call now.
Kilo India, 9 Echo.
All right, we've got KI9E. A little bit hot there, Jim. I believe you're coming in through the talk group. So we've had all three tonight, the Echolink, the All-Star, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, the TGIF talk group on DMR. Jim, do you got anything for the net?
Hey, good evening, Kurt, and everyone on the net. No traffic this evening. I did hear that the 441-950 fusion repeater seemed to be locked up yesterday on the way home from work there, Kurt. But this morning it seemed to be okay, so maybe you got somebody reset it there. But that's all I had on this end. Coming at you through the DMR talk group. KI90, back to net.
Okay, Jim, very good. Yeah, a little bit hot, a little bit hot. Might want to back away a little bit from the microphone. But other than that, sounded really good. I know those DMR radios. I have the same problem with mine talking into the repeater or through the talk group, I should say. Comes through. I might have it turned up a little bit. I was trying to turn it down a while back, months ago, and I thought I did, but maybe I didn't. But I had a heck of a time with these nodes this weekend, my two nodes and the repeater node. Something happened with the DV switch side, which controls the DMR. And, yeah, I spent almost all day Sunday getting mine working and the repeater one working. Yeah, I don't know what happened, but anyway. Matter of fact, I finished up today to get mine working. I got the repeater working first, obviously. But, yes, I noticed the repeater was locked up on my way home from work. So while I was parked, not moving, I got on my phone, wink, wink, and logged into the computer and switched it off and switched it back on. So sometimes, depending on the room that the repeater is connected to, I've been told that if an analog user comes in, because some rooms will accept analog and digital, and when it tries to do that switch back to either analog or digital, it confuses the Generation 1 repeater. I think it's fixed in Generation 2. It confuses it, and it gets stuck in transmit. So, yeah, and to fix it, you have to turn the repeater off and back on again. But thank you for letting me know there, Jim. I want to see if you got a comeback there for anything, audio test or anything like that. Go ahead, sir.
Okay, Kurt, you know the traffic. I'm a little further away from the microphone now. Hopefully that's a little bit better. KNNE, back to that.
Much, much, much better. Yes, much better. So wherever you're at there for at least this repeater, that's perfect, perfect. Probably perfect on anything because those radios, at least my DMR radios, are pretty sensitive to where you don't have to be right up on top of them like you do with the Yaesus. So, all right, Jim. Well, thank you for checking in. Thank you for the heads up on the repeater. I definitely appreciate that whenever anybody gives me a heads up because, you know, I'm not always listening. I just happen to catch that one at the right time. So if you have a way of contacting me via email, text message, whatever, anytime, well, not anytime, try not to do it when I'm sleeping, but at work, if you call me, I might not answer, and a text, I might not answer right away, but yes, feel free to reach out to me if you notice something weird going on, and if I can't do anything about it, I might know somebody that can. So, again, appreciate it, Jim. Have yourself a good evening, good rest of your week, and thank you for checking in. All right, let's go ahead and get started with the information part of the net. I will call for more check-ins when I'm done with that. So I'll let the repeater reset, and then we'll get started. Area nets, areas District 1 serving Lake Porter, LaPorte, Jasper, Newton, and Benton counties. The area's District 1 net is every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on the N9 IAA repeater. The frequency is 146.685, and appeal tone is different. It's 173.8. There's also a net for GMRF licensed stations every third Thursday at 7 p.m. Central on the Valpo 1 repeater, 462.700, positive offset, 141.3 PL tone. And then we have the Indiana District 1 Skywarn net. It's a different net. Every Monday night at 8 p.m. Central on the N9 IAA repeater, 146.685, negative 600 offset with a 173.8 PL tone. Again, 173.8. It serves Lake, Porter, LaPorte, Newton, Jasper, and Benton counties. And the Indiana District 1 Skywarn is seeking hams / storm spotters spring. Oh, I need to change that. Anyway, summer is here, and with that severe weather, which we've seen quite a bit since spring, LaPorte County Skywarn weather nets are moving to the N9 IAA repeater 146.685. Indiana District 1 Skywarn will be managing our weather nets and forwarding our reports to the National Weather Service and the IWX. A big advantage for LaPorte County is that we'll hear weather reports from the west before they reach our county. This will allow you to better prepare for what may be coming. This move will better serve all LaPorte County and the National Weather Service. And keep an eye out for Skywarn classes. Just got to go to the, I think it's the NOAA website where you can find those. I'm not sure. I really need to put that in there. I say that every week. My apologies. But keep an eye out for those if you need them. And they do have a Discord that is very good. And once you get your Skywarn number, which I got mine, doing everything online. So I got a Skywarn number, gave it to the Discord, and now whenever there's weather coming through, it's kind of annoying, but every 10 minutes they send you a picture. Actually, it's an animated picture of the radar for this area, so you can kind of see what's coming at you just by those alerts. So keep that in mind as well. It's the Indiana District 1 Skywarn. I can't remember the name on Discord. I'll put that in here too someday. My apologies for not having everything up front. So if anybody has it, feel free to jump in. AC9HO Net Control.
I'm glad I can be a storm spotter / amateur storm chaser, and now that you guys are on board with the N9, I normally link up with them, so I'm out chasing to the west of you, and I'm always on there when storms are out and about, and giving my reports from my side of the state. I know it's coming your way after it comes, it's going your way after it goes through mine. W9DRK.
Yep, Rob, I've heard you a few times on there, and the Discord is Indiana District 1 Skywarn, so Just look for that if you know anything about Discord. And, yeah, and even if it's not here in LaPorte County, I really highly recommend everybody checking in to let them know that there are people in LaPorte County interested in their net and wanting information for when it gets here. So keep that in mind whenever there's severe weather coming through. Get on the N9 IAA repeater 146.685 and just check in. And checking in doesn't mean you got to do anything, but if something comes your way that you can report. And keep in mind, this isn't a report, it's raining, it's windy, it's cloudy. It's reporting damage, it's reporting tornadoes, it's reporting hail. Life-threatening issues, hail, they want to know because that's the sign of a possible updraft, a strong updraft that could potentially turn into a tornado, so that's why they want to know that. But this isn't like the weather nets or the wet nets of old that we had in the mornings where you actually tell them how much rain you got. Yeah, they don't want to know that. Not on that net. That is an emergency net, and it's set aside for severe weather / emergencies, so just keep that in mind. But please, check in. Let them know here in LaPorte County we want to participate.
Thanks for mentioning that. Definitely had a lot of issues with people going over top of spotters and chasers that were on tornadoes, and we got to hear about dark clouds, and we couldn't get through and give pertinent information. So thank you very much for saying what you just said on that. And another note, it is only RF, so no All-Star, no digital anything. It's RF only, just so you're aware. You won't be able to connect to the NIIA any other way except for RF.
Yep, that's 100% true. They block everything during a net. It's automatically done, so they can't just unblock it whenever they want. It has to be deactivated. The net has to be deactivated. So, no, they got really cool stuff. They're doing a really good job. And fortunate for us, unfortunate for you in the east there. Sorry, the west there of us. Or wait, do I got that backwards? Yes, the west of us. You guys have been getting hammered a lot harder than we have, fortunately for us. So, unfortunately for you guys. But it's still good to have us check in to let them know we're here. And if anybody wants to go out and help out and chase the storm or whatever, they'll gladly take the assistance. But you do have to be a certified Skywarn spotter, though. That's the only caveat, is that they really want to take reports from certified spotters only because, not because you don't know what you're talking about, but because if you're not certified, then they have to send somebody your way to verify. And by the time they get there, chances are whatever you saw is probably moved on and long gone. So that's the reason, one reason why they prefer certified spotters. And it's very easy to get certified. The online courses were very easy, and then there's other courses to take that won't be hard. They don't make it hard. It's not like, for some, it's not like taking your ham radio license. It's not like that. So anybody could do it. Anybody interested in weather can definitely do it. So, all right, Rob, thank you for those comments. And I think we've beat that one up maybe enough, but we'll see after the next net. See how that goes. Yeah, it's very important to get the important information through. I know everybody wants to participate and have something to contribute, but in this case, just you being there is contributing. And then hopefully, it's like having a gun. You never want to use it. You don't want to report an emergency. You know, we'd rather not. But if it's County Early Warning Siren Testing Net, kind of on the same subject. The first Saturday of every month here on the 146970 repeater. Net control opens the net at 10:30 a.m. Sirens go off at 11 a.m. Please check in with Net Control Dave DLP, W9DLP, 30 minutes prior for updated location requirements. Next siren test will be August 1st. Michiana Amateur Radio Club, or MARC, holds a weekly on-the-air net on the K9DEW repeater at 147.330, positive offset 131.8 PL tone. Every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern on the K9DEW repeater, and if that repeater is down, the net will be held on the WB9AGX repeater, 147.390, positive offset 131.8 PL tone.
Quick comment.
Yeah, go ahead, Rob.
To beat that horse again, even if you're not a storm spotter, you see a tornado. Now, forget funnel cloud, tornado, two different things. Tornado on the ground. You see that? I don't care if you're a storm spotter or not. Call in and tell someone, please. Don't be scared. Legitimate tornado on the ground, call in and say something.
Yeah, I like that line of thinking. I mean, because almost anybody should be able to tell if it's on the ground, if it's picking up dirt, picking up the any kind of debris, that's tornado on the ground. So I agree with Rob 100%. Don't let, or even anything life-threatening. If it's life-threatening, you saw somebody get struck by lightning, you saw something that's weather-related, call it in. Call it in. If either way, if it's life-threatening, they're going to send somebody there anyway. So I agree with Rob 100%. Rob, you got any more?
CMN Network.
Okay, Rob, thank you for that, and thank you for clarifying. I agree 100% that tornado on the ground, for sure, call it in. And I would even go as far as if you're not even a ham radio operator, if you're with a ham radio operator and something happened to that ham radio operator and you see something, call it in. It's not recommended, really, but you can do it. You're not going to get in trouble. So we're here to help everybody. All right, next we have the Fulton County Skyward Net every Monday at 6 p.m. Central on the K9RCR repeater, 442.700, positive offset, 131.8 PL tone. Then we have the White County Amateur Radio Society Wednesday Night Net, every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern on a KC9PQA repeater, 147.255, positive offset, 131.8 PL tone. And last but not least, we have the LPCARC Information Net, this net, every Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. on the W9LY 146970 repeater. This is an information net, and everybody is welcome to participate. All right, area Hamfest or nearby Hamfest, the 2026 Elkhart East Hamfest, Saturday, August 1st, 2026, from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Eastern Time at the Northern Indiana Event Center in Elkhart, Indiana. The address is 21565 Executive Parkway, Elkhart. It says, welcome and join us, indoor 20,000 square foot amateur radio hobby electronics and more convention. 150 table flea market, retail and consumer vendors, ham radio license exams for all classes, $9 admission, includes discounted admission to the RV Hall of Fame. $15 per table, $20 the day of the event, includes electric. One free admission per table. Children under 14 are free. Talk-in is the K9DEW repeater, 147.330, positive offset, 131.8 PL. Rialto. I think they usually have food, but they're not advertising that on the flyer. So I don't want to say too much, but I know last year they had really good food there. So join them August 1st, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Club meeting and club news. The LaPorte County Amateur Hill Club meets the second Monday of every month at the LaPorte Seventh-day Adventist Church at 7 p.m. Central Time, 1480 Boyd Boulevard, LaPorte. The next official club meeting will be August 10th. The membership is not required to sit in on a meeting, and meetings are not required to be a member. If you do attend the meetings, though, you're encouraged to stay and learn a few radio tips and tricks during our meeting presentations. We've had solar demonstrations, digital mode demonstrations, remote operation demonstrations, and guest speakers from time to time. Matter of fact, last meeting, John had a QRP radio there that he assembled, a little QRX kit, I think it was called, and QRX Labs or something like that. So he was showing that off, so I think he has plans to possibly show off a little bit more of that. I don't know if it's next meeting or in the future, but stay tuned. Membership dues can be paid online at lpcarc.org. Club breakfast. Come to our club breakfast every Thursday at 8 a.m. at Mama T's Diner, 607 Lincoln Way, LaPorte. And the Sugar Bowl restaurant is in the process of finding a new location, so the first Saturday breakfast will be postponed until the new location is announced. Don't mind my voice. I think I'm losing it. I've been doing a lot of talking today. We've had training at work, and it requires a lot of talking. Anyway, Potato Creek POTA. If you are looking for a good opportunity to hang out with other ham radio operators or learn more about POTA and or radio, come out to Potato Creek every Saturday, weather permitting. Starts between 8 and 9 a.m. Eastern and goes until about 3 or 4 p.m. Eastern. For more information, get on the K9DEW repeater, 147.330, or visit their website, potatocreekportable.org. That's potatocreekportable, all one word, .org. And again, get on Discord. They have a very active Discord group, so I highly recommend it. They talk about more than just Potato Creek and Potato Creek Portable. So, get on there and join the fun. Alright, trying to wet my whistle there. Weather, at a glance, it didn't work. Tonight, clear, with a low around 53. North wind, 5 to 10 miles per hour, becoming light and variable in the evening. I have my windows open, and it's great. Thursday, sunny with a high near 75, calm wind around 5. Thursday night, mostly clear around 56, calm wind. Friday, mostly sunny with a high near 78, calm wind becoming south around 5 in the afternoon. Friday night, mostly clear with a low around 58, south wind around 5 becoming calm. Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 81. Saturday night, partly cloudy with a low around 68. Sunday, mostly sunny with a high near 87. Sunday night, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly after 1 a.m., partly cloudy with a low around 68. And Monday, to start your week, a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms after 1 p.m., mostly sunny with a high near 87. All right, as promised, general check-ins. This is AC9HO Net Control. Anybody anywhere, please call now.
WB9W is checking in from Chicago.
KF9WW.
NADAF, mobile south bend in and out.
All right, I got three of you in here. WB9W, KF9WW, and N8DAF. Debbie, in and out. Oh, she got me. Normally I ask anyway if they have anything for the net, but she's sitting it out, so I'm going to respect that. So Debbie, thank you for checking in. Have yourself a good evening. Good rest of your week. So we'll go up to WB9W. Beat, do you have anything for the net?
Not really. I'm going to go on a 2 meter sideband here and check into the net up in Wisconsin. But if your guys are still here, I'll come back and check in with you again. But anyway, it was nice to see you over the weekend, and I did pick up a nice radio from Bill, AB9QU, I believe. Nice to meet him. Bought a radio off of him. So anyway, it was a nice ham fish you guys had. So I'll be back later. So 7-3 for now, Kurt. WB9W, back to you.
Okay, Pete, very good. Well, thank you for making the trek down here, and glad you found something that you could take home with you. Again, thanks for checking in. Have yourself a good evening, good rest of your week. Enjoy that other net over there on the sideband there. So, all right, next we have KF9WW. Mike, do you have anything for the net?
KF9WW, good evening, Kurt, and everyone else. Nothing of any importance. Decided to take all the UHF and VHF radios and program them all the same. So number one is number one on all the radios and so forth down the line, including the HP. So hopefully that'll lessen some of the confusion. And so far, so good. Now I'm just trying to remember why I did things the other way around in the first place, and I'll figure it out eventually. Back to you, Kurt.
Okay, Mike, yeah, if you figure out why you did things the way you did things before, let me know how you figured that out, because I'd like to know that sometimes on why I do the things I've done and the way I've done it. So, all right, Mike, well, congratulations on the newly programmed radio there. I need to follow in your footsteps and do the same thing one day. Thank you for checking in. Have yourself a good evening and a good rest of your week. All right. I'm going to go ahead, while we're asking for check-ins, I'm going to also open the swap and shop session. Are there any stations with amateur radio-related items for sale, trade, wanted, loan, or borrow? The swap and shop session is now open. Please call now.
At control. Control, please log Alpha Charlie 9, X-ray November, George from Highland, Indiana. No business, no traffic, no swap and shop. Over.
All right, George. Well, thank you for checking in, and I think I respected Debbie's in and out, so I'm thinking I'm going to respect your no traffic, no business, and no swap and shop. It was really good seeing you, George, at the Hamfest. Thank you for showing up, and I look forward to seeing you at any of our other events coming up here soon and here at the beginning of next year. So maybe we'll see you there, too. All right, George, well, thank you for checking in. Feel free to jump in if you want to add anything, but have a good evening and a good rest of your week. Alrighty. Alright, anybody, swap and shop, comments, questions, we're going to open it up to everything. Swap and shop, comments, questions, general check-ins, anybody anywhere. This is AC9HO Net Control. Please call now. Okay, hearing nothing, I think I'm going to make this last call for all the same things. Swap and shop, general check-ins, comments, questions, anything at all. Please call now.
KF9WW.
Go ahead, Mike.
It's a question because I can't remember exactly how we went about it, but to invoke the digital aspect on the 510, that was function number 8. The AMS switch it over to from AM all or analog all the time to digital all the time? Was that the right button?
I think you're on the right path. What is it you're trying to do? You can't do digital on this repeater, just so you know. It's only on the 6-1 and the 4-4-1. Are you wanting to do the 6-1 where you transmit digital but hear analog? Because that repeater does not transmit digital, only transmit analog. Is that what you're trying to do, or are you just trying to talk digital on the 441-950?
No, just for that one, for clarity, and when I'm having trouble, when I'm getting the signal reports from you guys saying that I'm scratchy and such.
Okay, yeah, I can't remember what menu it is, but it's going to be the TX, I think TX mode, and you want to set that to for the 6-1, you want to set that to digital, and then that way it will receive on analog all the time. But when you go to the 6-1, you have to have the radio in DN mode with the line above it. It has to have the line above DN. Otherwise, it won't switch back to analog after you transmit. Does that make sense?
Yep, now that you've refreshed my memory. I was just trying to remember, because I'm writing a little flashcard to have for that.
Yeah, and I don't have my 500 in front of me, so I can't remember exactly what menu it is, but I think it's called TX mode, transmit mode, we'll say. So there's a two-step process. You have to have that set to digital only, I think. I don't know what the words are, but digital, right, for your TX mode. And then you leave that menu, and you go to the 6-1, and then you change your mode where it says DN or FM, and you change it to DN or FM as long as it has the line above it. It has to have that line above it because that's your automatic mode. That's your AMS. So that's a two-step process. And then, to confuse more, when you're done on the 6-1, you want to push that DN button on top of the radio, or is it DX? It might be DX. You want to push that DX button on the top of the radio and take yourself out of the AMS mode. Otherwise, put yourself in FM only with no line. Otherwise, you're going to transmit digital everywhere you go.
Gotcha. Now I remember that's what we did, and it's the DX mode, or the DN button, or TX button. Gotcha. Thank you.
I thought so. As soon as I said it, I looked at my 400 here, and I was like, no, it's DX, not DN. So, yeah, it can get a little confusing operating that way, but it's very handy, and it's nice that you can turn it on and off. So when you turn that TX mode on to digital only, so when you go to the 441-950, you don't have to change anything because it's already going to be transmitting digital. And you can put it in AMS, which is the line above it, or you can put it straight DN with no line, or VW with no line, which never has a line. But anyway, and it'll work just fine. You don't ever have to change that TX mode unless you find yourself always accidentally keying up digital on repeaters that don't do that. That might be the only time you want to turn that off.
Very good. I couldn't remember when I reprogrammed everything, what I needed to set for that. And I'm just writing a little flashcard for that operation. Thanks again. Back to you.
All right, Mike. No problem at all. No problem at all. That's what we're here for. So we'll go ahead and do another last call. Anybody anywhere, swap and shop, comments, questions, anything at all, please call now. Okay, hearing nothing, I'm going to do a little bit of public announcement on what we were just talking about. On the K9 JSI repeater, 146.610, that repeater is set up to receive analog and digital, right? But it only transmits analog. So anybody on any radio can hear digital or analog. There is a benefit for weak stations that have a Yaesu radio that is digital, and you're having a problem being heard on the repeater, but you're holding the repeater, you know, you're not dropping it. You switch your radio to digital, but you have to be able to receive analog. That's the trick. You switch it to digital, and if you're close enough, it will clear your signal up like you're right next to the repeater. It's amazing. You sound robotic a little bit, but everybody can hear you. So feel free to play with it. That's how that repeater is set up. Again, you have to receive analog. You can't receive digital. So a little confusing, but once you figure it out, it's pretty simple. Every radio is a little bit different on how to get that set up, but kind of the same. I don't know how to do the FT-70. I can do the FT-5. It's a little bit different. And, of course, you heard us talk about the FT-510 or FTM-510. I have the 500. It's the same. And I've also done it on a 400. So, anyway, just wanted to throw that out there for anybody that didn't know what we were talking about. Just an added feature on that K9 JSI repeater. I'm going to conclude this net. I would like to thank all the amateur operators that checked into the net this evening. We had 18 check-ins. I will now return the repeater back to normal general amateur use. This is Kurt, AC9HO, clear at 8:25 p.m. Central Time, 73, and have a good evening, everybody.
That's surprising. Everybody must be outside enjoying the nice evening.
I can't say I blame them there. I was a little surprised not to hear OKA, though.
Yeah. Well, it is a very beautiful night out there. 8921.
Let's do a barbecue going and just waiting for his his hot dogs and hamburgers.
Uh-oh, we had a collision there in 89GY1. Unfortunate for you there, WW, but go ahead, WW, what you said.
Yeah, maybe he's just waiting to get his hot dogs and hamburgers from the grill. I don't know.
Yeah, he could have been. I don't know if he got anything to eat at the Hamfest. I never did ask him. Go ahead, GY.
No, the weather today is just really beautiful. This morning early, it looked like it was going to rain. I was cleaning out all my gardens of the weeds, and then I mowed everything today, so it was real nice. But it's beautiful out there.
I couldn't agree more. It is very, very nice. I love having my windows open versus air conditioning. Not just for the bills, but I like the fresh air. Go ahead, WW.
Yeah, it's nice now because now everybody's pretty much shut the lawnmowers off so you can enjoy the birds and the sounds that as long as the semis don't shake break the alone, we're in good shape.
I don't know if you noticed, but the moon is out there too.
I know I haven't noticed them. At a corner, so I don't get to see outside much. I can move a curtain and take a look, but I can't see much.
I think I'm going to have to go in there and bring Ma outside. She loves looking at the moon. She gets all real excited about it, so I'll let her look at that before she goes to bed.
Oh, there you go. That sounds like a must.
Good. I got one of those Baofeng minis.
I knew you were getting it. You got it in the mail, got it all programmed up and everything?
Yeah, I did. And I used that Bluetooth setup that they send you, because they don't send you an owner's manual or nothing. So you're either going to download it one way or another, so you might as well download the Bluetooth setup. But it was pretty straightforward and pretty easy to do. It's got 1,000 memories in it.
Oh, wow. Yeah, for that little thing, that's pretty good. Teeny tiny, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just a little bit smaller than the FT-70, but it's about a third narrower. So, yeah, you can stick it in your pocket and not even know it's there.
Yeah, it has just enough thickness to give you something to hold on to, but I was surprised at how small it was.
Well, I found out for one thing, the antenna is not worth a darn. I'm going to have to figure out what I can do to replace it with something that's got some more gain, which will add, obviously, some length to it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You didn't get the one that came with the extra antenna that looks like a Comet dual band antenna? I can't think of it now. The SR-771 or something like that. It looks similar to that, but no markings on it at all.
Yep, there was nothing in there. So this, I ended up getting this one off with Aldi Express or whatever that's for $14. So I'm sure they cut it back to the bare minimum what they were going to send you.
Yeah, you're probably right, for sure. I know you can get ones on Amazon. They come with multiple antennas, and that longer one works considerably better. But I would be looking into one of those signal stick antennas if you've never bought one. They're only like $20-25 shipped and lifetime warranty. Can't beat it. Works very, very well.
What's the one that looks like a narrow tape measure that you fold in half? Is that the Abri?
Yes. I have a couple of those, and they're just so stinking big, I don't even try to use them. But I like having them on hand as an antenna that, if you need to get out, it's going to do it.
Yeah, I'll get with you and compare notes on which one you find the best compromise for length and gain.
Well, if you want to throw price in there as a criteria, signal stick, I think, beats everybody because it's not the best antenna operation-wise, but it's far from the worst. It's not even middle of the road. It's top tier, in my opinion, and very rugged, very light, so you don't feel, even though it's longer, you don't feel it in your hand on the radio. Now in the Brie, you're going to feel that. you tilt that radio a little bit, you're going to know that there's an antenna on the end of that radio.
Gentlemen, I got to go. AD9QY, talk to you later.
No, I'm going to be kidding you when I say this. Don't go away mad, just go away. But you don't have to run off on our account.
Hear noise in the other room, and I was on my way to take Mom outside to see the moon, so I gotta go. I'll talk to you guys later.
Yeah, my apologies. I thought Jerry went outside. Mike 73. Talk to you later.
Yep, enjoy the evening. KF9WW.
Yeah, let me see if I have it. Yeah, that would be my recommendation, only because of the price. Now, if you're wanting a really good operating antenna, it'd be one of those Diamonds or Comets dual bands that are about, 17, 18 inches long. The SR-771, whatever that is, I think that's the number. I have one. I don't use it as often. I have another one that's more like the signal stick. I can't remember the number on that thing, but my God, does it work good. And it works good on my ICOM, I should say that. Not so great on my Yaesu, but that ID50 is a great combination with that antenna.
This is the CMN Network, MI3.
Yeah, I'm looking. I guess I have kind of long, maybe 12, 13 inches long, but it's kind of big in the base. But it looks like it's the same. It should fit this little guy that came off of the older bow thing.
Okay, if it's a little bit bigger in the base, I wonder if it's that same antenna that you could have got ordering through Amazon, the one they send with those minis. It's got a little bit bigger of a base, you're right. And then the whip itself is probably over an eighth, maybe a quarter inch thick. And then, you know, you could tell where the UHF stops and then the 2 meter continues, you know, for the rest of the antenna. I think that number, if you bought the Comet or Diamond version, is SR-771, but I could be wrong. I could be confusing that with something else. But it's something to that effect.
Okay, well, screwed on okay and mounted all the way down. It kind of met a little resistance the last turn and a half, but not anything that I think caused any damage. But yeah, it's got probably the first 8-9 inches or thicker, and then it narrows down towards the top, and it's got a cap on the end of it.
Mike, what are you doing messing around with Bofang anyways? W9PRK.
I was going to see if I could QRP up into Michigan again tonight.
Well, I tell you what, you got a really rare park today.
That's what you said. You got the first activation on it?
No, I was the fourth person to activate it. I'm in second place, though, on contacts. We went pretty much HF blackout shortly after I got a contact with you. Ended up going to another park, and it was a bit of a fight. Got the 10 contacts, but most of them were ground wave.
Yeah, I listened for you, but I couldn't find you. You were strong the other day when I got you on, 20 meters?
Yeah, 20 meter was going crazy. It was almost acting like 40 meter Envis. It was pretty cool. I got a ton of local, I would say local for 20 meter contacts. And then every once in a while, you know, California and Utah and Washington would jump in there, and got my buddy Foxtrot 5 Yankee Papa India, Larry, over in France. I got a couple contacts with him on 20 over the week too, so it's been interesting to say the least, and today's been the worst.
Yeah, did you try any of the 6 meter and stuff? Because it's been open. I don't know about tonight. But yeah, Kurt, you need to get out there and start playing with the with that flex. Get out there and seeing what you can pull in.
Oh, I know. I know. I need to play more radio, that's for sure. I've actually been taking my Maestro out into the living room instead of the 705. And that way I can tune HF anytime I want and see what's going on, make contacts. I made some park contacts last weekend. That was the first HF I had played in over a month. And speaking of HF, I'm not trying to change the subject or anything, but I just came across an email here. Radiodity is coming out with a Zygu G7250. And it is a 100-watt portable radio, I think. Transceiver built for operators, wants desktop-grade power, modern architecture, and flexibility to build their shack exactly how they want it. It looks like a Maestro, a Flex Maestro. It's got a built-in tuner, voice recorder, and CW messaging, network baseband streaming, 7-inch color touchscreen, SDR architecture, Avant-grade split design, and 100-watt desktop power. It's really cool looking. It kind of looks like a Flex radio in a way.
That is going to really, really hurt the big three. That's my opinion, but if they're coming out with a 100-watt radio that does what they do, the way they do it, that's going to put a hurting on Yaesu and ICOM, and well, Kenwood pretty much just hurt themselves, but nonetheless, that's going to be interesting. I might be buying one of those.
Yeah, I'll have to wait and see, but I don't have any. I wouldn't have given you a dime before I ended up inheriting this G90, but the more I play with it, the more I like it. It's an amazing rig. And just watching YouTube and some of other people's comments, you know, if I didn't have everything else, I would consider it.
Yeah, just looking at it, I think it's even going to be some competition for Flex, because I see this networked baseband streaming. I'm not sure what that means, but I'm guessing it's going to be remote capable, kind of like my Flex is. So, yeah, with 100 watts, that's, and probably compared to a Flex, considerably cheaper.
If it's anything like the G90 tuner, if I can get one of those, which I'm assuming this radio is not going to be much more than $1,000, and all I got to do is hook up to a shopping cart with a 9-to-1 Bylan and I can make contacts, that's a pretty easy sell. Downside is I'm pretty established with radios, and I need another one like I need a hole in my head, so I'll probably buy it anyways.
Oh, yeah, you can't have too much. It says lightning-fast built-in ATU. Nice-looking screen, too. Check it out, G7250.
AD9GY.
That was quick.
Yeah, I walked Ma out to the back door, and we just look up at the sky for a minute, and then she wasn't feeling that hot, but that's why I had to go real quick. I heard something. I didn't know if she was trying to do something, because she's really, really stubborn, so I didn't mean to get in the middle of you guys with your radio talk, so I'll be quiet for a bit.
No, interrupt all you want.
conversations are welcome, I think.
I totally agree. Let's see if I have it. This ATU is a heavy-duty internal automatic tuner that compensates for mismatched antennas. Matching range is 20 ohms to 150 ohms. Initial tuning completes in under 10 seconds. Memory tuning takes less than 0.1 seconds. The tuner saves parameters for each band and automatically reloads them when you switch bands, keeping you on the air and not tweaking knobs.
I think I looked at the wrong radio. I don't think it's $1,200. That's a different one. Get that to pull up. See what I got coming through here. Nope, that's it. That's the one. $1,285.99. Yeah, I might have to buy one of those.
Yeah, I'm not seeing the price.
Well, looks like my 850, my power supply, my manual tuners, the speakers, the desk mic, all that kind of stuff is going bye-bye.
And again, I'm looking at a different radio. I'm seeing what you're talking about, Kurt, and what I was looking at is different. They don't have a price out for this because, it has a removable face just like the Flex radio, and there's no price for that one.
Uh-oh, Mike's getting rid of all his equipment so he can purchase this. Yeah, I'm curious what this would go for because it's got a little black box just like the Flex, but way smaller. And then you got the removable head, which I wonder if you have to have it plugged in or if it works remotely, because like my Maestro, I can take it anywhere. I can take it anywhere that has internet. I can take it to a hotel. I can take it camping if I camped. And as long as I have internet, I can connect to my Flex.
Well, start camping and take it camping with you. It's a lot of fun. Be like me, out in the middle of the woods somewhere playing radio.
I wouldn't do that with a Flex, because that's kind of cheating. But camping has never been my bag. I don't know. I just can't get past all the work it takes to get there. You know, you got load, drive, unload, have a good time, load, drive, unload, and it's not all the cleaning in between. I don't know, I just want to relax, like, the whole time. But I get it. I get the attraction. It's just not my bag.
That was what was nice about my Airstream. Everything was there. All I did is back up, hook up, and go.
Get up here, hit a grocery store up, and head to the cabin and be done with it. But even so, how we camp now, we've got clothes that stay in the camper. So all we got to do is throw groceries in, hook up, and leave. That's the extent of it.
Yeah, that's what Mike said. I heard you both. He said that was what was nice about his Airstream, just hook up and go. I mean, I guess I could see that, you know. I'm just not there yet. Go ahead, WW.
Well, it made it nice because, you know, that I agree. If you have to do all that prep and move everything back and forth, then it becomes a chore and you're wore out before you even get to where you're going to go. But, you know, when we got the Airstream, we had the motorhome too, and it was pretty good. All you did is load up the refrigerator and make sure the tanks are full. And, then you head on down the road. The Airstream was so much nicer because it followed behind the truck like it wasn't even there, and if you got tired, you just pulled into a rest stop or a, nowadays the new service plazas have areas where you can just pull in, and if it's hot, they have places where you can get electricity for next to nothing for the night, and when you are rested, you head up and take off again, so, but all that came in then too, so. But yeah, if you ever get a chance, that's the way to go. My wife found somebody on there, they were talking on YouTube. They call it glamping, the glamour camping.
That's funny. Glamour camping, glamping. I like that. Now, I could do that. That's more my speed.
I remember somebody used to call it power window camping.
That just got a lot of names, for sure. But that would be my kind of camping. I could definitely get behind that.
Well, my tent hasn't seen any use in many years, and I don't anticipate any coming up soon. A little trailer sounds really nice.
I don't know. I mean, the trailer I pull, I've got air conditioning, almost a residential size refrigerator, shower, bathroom, Tempur-Pedic bed, and the campsite I'm at is full hookup, so I've got electric, sewer, water, everything I need. It's, I think that is, classifies as glamping.
Oh, yes, yes, you're in that category for sure.
We don't typically go camping to rough it. It's our little vacation and getaway. So we bring our Airbnb with us, the way I look at it, and find us nice places to stay and enjoy it. That's got some brats cooking over the fire right now. French fries just got fried up in the cast iron skillet and oil. So not too long. I'm going to get out of here, eat a little bit, and come back and see if anyone's on the radio.
Yeah, yeah, that's, I've thought of that too. Take and, you know, get a camper so I can do some traveling and have a place to stay cheaper. And, but and all that's put on hold now, now that I'm down to one income. So, got to find the wife a job and hopefully get back to where we were. A camper was definitely in my sights. But not anymore. Such is life, right?
Oh, isn't it being an adult so much fun? Just when you think you're ahead and you're going to be able to do stuff you want, and you get hit with a curveball. Seems to happen all the time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it hit us in 2008. She lost her job. I was fortunate and got to keep mine. And I've been there nonstop for almost 30 years. But she was working with me, you know, at my company. Not my company, but the company I worked for. And some individuals that worked under her, because she was a supervisor, she went from, she was there 8 years, went from assembly, very bottom, to supervisor in 8 years. And some individuals did not like the way she was holding them accountable for the things they were doing, and ganged up and made stuff up, and HR believed every word they said, and, well, they held the wrong person accountable, really. And, you know, one would say, well, you're biased, you know, your wife had to do something wrong, but no, that's definitely not the case. I'm an honest kind of guy, and if that was the case, I wouldn't be saying anything. Or I'd be telling you exactly. But, yeah, things are weird at my company at the moment.
I've been in the same industry, a few different jobs, but been doing concrete. Off and on for the past 30 years. Been driving the truck for quite a while now, and I think that's where I'm going to try and stay. It seems to do the best for me. But dinner's done, and like I said, I'm going to go eat a little bit, and I'll come back and see if anyone's on when I get back. W9PRK.
All right, Rob. Enjoy your time up there. Nice chatting with you. I'll probably be long gone and in bed by the time you come back. 73AC9HL.
I'll talk to you, Kurt, K9PGC.
All right, we got Mr. John out there. Go ahead, Mr. John. We got WW and GY as well. Mike and Mike.
Yeah, I'm still heading back home, so I'm still in La Porte. But I had to turn the sound down for a little bit for what we had going here. So my wingman, he peeled off. And on Joliet Road, and I just keep on going. So, but man, I wish I had a video camera tonight, just the way the sky looks and so forth, but I'll leave that one at that.
I don't know how you do it. I'm exhausted just listening to you. Go ahead, WW.
Yeah, I think I see you off the bike and on the gurney headed for the PR if I just walked out to it and got on the bike. Yeah, I wish I could ride like that.
Trust me, serious riding for 8 years to get me to this point.
Go ahead, GY.
Alright, I lied. I'm going to be back. I don't want to have food poisoning. My food is not done yet. W9PRK.
What did you say, your thoughts?
You know what, the lettuce parasite?
That was very scary the way they were describing that parasite.
Yeah, I don't want any of that. No, I'm just cooking some, you know, classic Johnsonville brats over the fire, and they looked good and ready. Had the kid turn the flashlight on, and one part of them definitely was not done, so back on the fire they go.
Are you grilling them, or you got them on sticks?
I guess you could call it grilling. It's a cast iron grate that I carry with me over a wood fire.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good. I sometimes had used sticks with sausage, and you know, when that's all you had.
CMN Network. 220.
I have most definitely used a stick a few times. Now, I bought this little grate, got some legs on it, and just stick it over the fire. Works great. Just a little cast iron grill grate type thing. I pulled them off to the side so I could play radio and they'd cook a little slower. And thought they were done. They were nice and browned up on every side, and went to put them on the plate and was looking. I'm like, ooh, that don't look right. Had the kid shine some light on them, and no, they're not done. So back on the fire they go.
Yeah, burn a little wood under there and let it get a little the hot coals. Good. That sounds good. You say are you on water?
I can walk to it, yeah. It's across the street from me. I'm on the north shore of Lake Michigan. Not quite the most northern point of it, but we will be on the most northern point of Lake Michigan probably tomorrow. We're going just to go there to say we were there. But nonetheless, we're on the north shore of Lake Michigan right now. past few days, we were on the south shore of Lake Superior. Even went out there and did a little swimming. And I can tell you right now, that water takes the breath right out of you.
Superior never gets warm. Yeah, I got friends up in UP, the Keweenaw Peninsula up there, the Copper Harbor and all that. And yeah, that does never get really warm up there.
No, about 45 degrees, I think, is the warmest it gets. And that's surface temp. Once you get a few feet under that, it drops real fast.
Sounds like it's a good little vacation.
Absolutely, yeah. We come up here every year, and like I was saying, we're going to buy some property eventually and put a cabin up. We've just been driving around. We come up here every year, explore different parts, and see which part of this place we really like the most. And once we really find a place we like the most, that's where we're going to buy property at and put something up. Vacation will turn into a workcation and take me probably a couple years, but once I got it done, it'll be done, and we'll be able to come up here and just have a week at a time, weekend, long weekend, whatever, or eventually, once I'm done working, stay up here the entire summer.
Yeah, when I was a kid, my parents bought a resort in outside of Brainerd, Minnesota, right in the middle of Minnesota, on a big lake. And, you know, a kid coming from Chicago was something completely different. But it's really beautiful up there. But, man, it can get cold in the winter.
Oh, absolutely. It's not exactly warm right now. Got a long sleeve shirt on, pants, shoes, and a hooded sweatshirt. It's probably upper 50s right now, lower 60s.
Let me see if I have it.
Maverick, right now here. Yeah, that resort was long, long gone.
Cool thing about All-Star, there was a double there, and I heard both of them. What did the other guy have to say?
Yeah, that was just me. I'm going to jump out of here, fellas. I got to get up early in the morning for work. And, I bet you John does, too, but he's still out there riding around. But I'm going to say 73 to everybody, WWGY, PGC, and... W9PRK. I don't know your call as well. To remember the last three, I had to say the whole thing. But Rob, have fun on your vacation there. And Mike, we'll talk to you guys later. John, we'll talk to you later as well. And if you didn't hear me earlier, thank you for the Tailgate Hamfest. I think it's going to turn out to be a great thing. So we'll see what the future brings. But I'm going to say 73, guys. Talk to you later. AC9HO.
All right, Kurt. Thanks for the info tonight. Have a good evening. Take care. KF9WW.
Kurt. We'll talk to you soon.
Pleasure. Love talking to you. W9PRK. Good night.
Sergi in there, John, with Rob. Both of you came through. Heard both of you, no problem. 73, AC9HO.
Oops, sorry about that.
It's my fault, but either way, it's 73 there, again there, Kurt.
That's the downside about being on All-Star. I'll either talk over or talk with, but I can hear everyone at the same time. It's full duplex. It's weird how this works.
Well, you're coming through very clear, so no issues. Hey, John, I was just going to ask you, what kind of lighting system have you got on your bike?
Bright enough that people keep on flickering their high beams at me.
I do have a light bar up front, about 6 inches wide, and a battery in the trunk, so that's more than enough power for 12 hours of lighting, the cell phone, and possibly run the handy talkie. I haven't gotten to that point yet, but I got two batteries for the handy talkie I carry, so that's how that routine goes. But yeah, this bike is pretty well lit. But for a headlamp to see the darkness, I got high beam, low beam, and all in.
I like it. Yeah, I did a couple bike rides this week, not for very long, but I got a bike trail right behind me, so I got up early and took off for an hour one day, 2 hours another one. But I won't do anything at night. I used to ride at night when I lived in town in Dundee, Illinois. But, of course, I had plenty of lights. At one point, I even hooked up a fog light to a battery on a recumbent bike I had. That gave me some light.
Yeah, that's got to be awesome. That is got to be awesome. And that lighting. And I once thought of putting one of them old style generators on the bike just to make sure everything's topped off. I haven't gotten to that one. You know that one, you turn it on and you barely go 10 feet with the load. Hi.
Yeah, I remember those. And it had a little rubber thing on top of there, you know, that you would wear out, but it's better than wearing out your tire with that metal wheel on top of the generator.
There was a company out in Illinois that had a real nice unit, and I missed out when the company folded because when COVID, everything hit with COVID, that actually did something to their sales. It was, if I was quicker, I would have bought one on clearance. Wasn't going to pay full price, right? But there were certain efficiencies on that if their specs were correct, you know, it was accurate, I'm like, ooh, I could have some fun with that, and then let's see what extra ham gear could go on board.
Well, sooner or later you're going to get to a weight issue where the bike is too heavy if you keep putting stuff on it.
Well, I'm already weighing this bike down more than I need to, just in general, for my workouts. Now, for the long distance stuff, then it makes sense, you know. But the tools I got, 4 big water bottles for like standard equipment. You know, I put some weight on this bike, you know. And like for tonight, I got 3-pound wrist weights on my wrist. There's a reason for it, and it's part of an exercise to help with hand numbness. The form of those gloves, if you want to call them that, the way they fit, they force your wrist to be a certain way, and it's a whole different gymnastics. It's something that this neurologist I'm seeing, professionally that is, she goes, give that a try. And the only thing I found on the shelf, because I just wanted to get a pair, I got these 3-pounders. So, I guess this is what you call my workout weight.
It sounds like it. Wow.
So bike and all the supplies right now is putting me no more than 50 pounds. And, I've got 5 pounds of tools I could actually eliminate if I so desire. And, like I said, lots of supplies. So right now, I actually have food on board, you know. Some extra clothes, so if it gets any colder, I got more I can put on. So, you know, the bike is packed.
I'll tell you, my bike is pretty basic, but I do have a little trunk
box or a trunk bag on top of the carrier, and I got all the tools in there. I could take every single thing apart on that bike, and I got tubes, so I'm ready to fix anything. I got extra spare links and some wire if a chain broke.
Yeah, I'm following that same road. You know, in fact, last year was the first time I lost a chain being on the road, and what's hilarious about it, it basically doesn't count for being on the road. My driveway is in the back of the house, right? So I pull into the alley, and I'm just going to roll right into the driveway. Well, somewhere, you know, right about the driveway, I lost the chain, you know, lost the quick link. And, of course, I have spare stuff on board, but that was a good stroke of luck. There was a ride coming up at the time that I would have changed that link out just to do it, you know. By the way, I waxed my chain, so after so many waxes, you know, every three waxes I put a new link in, and that's what was, that was basically, that was the third time, and I was getting close to that point to, you know, just go a little too fast here, by the way, where I'm at, to get my thought back. Yeah, I was going to be like just a matter within the week, re-wax that chain and put it back on with a new link, and up, got me in the driveway.
Yeah, that would certainly be luck.
Well, I can tell you right now where I'm at, somebody's got their Christmas decorations up already. Looks beautiful. All the different color lights. And I think this is 250. 250 whatever. Probably north. But anyway, I hung a left turn at the summit. So I'm avoiding Johnson Road on the way home, by the way. But which you heard a little bit earlier, like I was trying to pay attention. I was going a little too fast because I know the bumps in this particular road. And I think 30 miles an hour was a little too fast.
Yeah, sounds like it might be. I'd take it easy on that. But well, you know the roads up there. I sure don't.
That's just it. You see, on this push-to-talk, by the way, I have a momentary position and I have a locked position. And you got the locked position. But this S-curve I'm going through right now, it did, the speed limit changes down to 20. Yeah, right. When do I go that slow? Uphill, most of the rest of the time. But anyway, just to make that joke. Yeah, I don't know what to expect on Johnson Road, and that would be such a sweet ride home, because I can just coast past Waterford Inn, if you know where that is. And that's a 500-foot drop in 3 miles. And I've taken advantage of it. If you just take a push off at the hill and you don't have a headwind, 27, 28 miles an hour is easy just coasting.
Well, it sounds like you're pretty dedicated, I'll tell you that much.
There's that road and one other road that has about the same parameters, but what's scary about Johnson is I get that southern wind, which is a tailwind. I get that sailing home. I have no idea how fast I could go, and if I had to hit the brakes, I have no idea how well I can handle it. But I will tell you one thing. This is a complete custom bike. Top Gear would make a 50 mile an hour bike out of this. I don't have the legs for it, but when you have a drop and a tailwind, anything's possible.
What kind of brakes you got on there? You got disc, you got hydraulic, or you got calipers, wires, what do you got?
Oh, I got rim brakes. Gold ring here. I gotta make the bump here, gotta make a right turn. Not necessarily a straight way home, but car-wise, it makes it really... This bike was custom-made in 1968. And so I'm second owner. It came out of the workshop of Pitts Aviation, if you're familiar with their stunt plane called the Pitts Special. It's a red and white biplane. The aircraft can handle 9G stunts. And the guy that was building all the frames at the time, Alan Pitts, he built this thing. So that is a much longer story on how I got it.
Wow, so you've got a vintage bike. I had no idea. I know what a Pitts is. I did model airplanes and stuff with my dad for some years in a club. But so your bike, is it like a traditional style diamond frame?
Yes, it is. 27-inch wheels. Okay. And the big chain ring... That's a 54-tooth chain ring going to 11-tooth rear for my highest gear. The beauty of this, because it's going to start sounding like a mountain bike to you, okay? The smaller chain ring is a 40, but I got a 34-tooth gear for my first gear.
Yeah, it sounds like you've got a pretty wide range. I remember years ago on some of my road bikes I had, I can't remember if it was seven tooth. That was the smallest, you know, on the rear.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't make anything like that for a freewheel anymore. But... You know, this is one bike until you really look at it, it'll fool you. But you start looking at the welds, and you will say, wow. And Alan himself, he quit riding it at the time of when COVID hit. But for me, I've been saddled up on it for 2 years now.
That sounds cool. Yeah, very good. I remember when I was into all the bikes back then with my friends, we were intrigued by the track bikes, because the track bikes don't have any brakes, and when the wheels move, the pedals move. There's no coasting.
Copy that, yeah. Yeah, boy. Yeah, that's one hill I had to slow down. No, not that bad of a hill. It bumps. I could have had a running start on this one. But this is familiar territory. That's the nice thing. You know, I had a surprise last fall. It was a bump that I should have known about. Everything on the trail was covered with leaves. It was a beautiful fall day. And I was going at a pretty good clip. And my back did forgive me on that one, but that was a jolt. I was surprised afterwards that I was hanging on to the handlebars as well as I did. That was the only surprise I had.
Yeah, I stick to the trail anymore. I ride on the road just to get over to the trail, which is not even a quarter mile. And I can't drive at night. I mean, I can, but I don't like to because you get too much glare from oncoming headlights and that, so I stick to the daytime.
Copy that, yeah. Well, I'll tell you, if this was like, let's say 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning, it's so peaceful out. I enjoy it. You know, I mean, right now, as long as there's no other traffic, oh, this is sweet. But I got the lighting for it. That's the main thing.
you know. And, but, let's see what we got in here. Yeah. But that's the other thing, too, that I have to that's just coming to mind, to make a crack about this bike, is some of that older design, if you don't know what the person is copying, let me rephrase that, the trend at the time by the companies, you may find one of these older bikes, you get on them, and you may feel a little more unstable than the more modern of basically the same design. You know, the tilt for the steering is different. The motor bikes are more agile, and to the point that you may feel like the steering is too loose when everything mechanically is solid. When I first got on this thing, you know, I just had a flashback at the moment, but that was caused by the road. But boy, did I have I had a learning curve on how this thing handled.
AD9GY, what do you got, drop handlebars on that?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, my last road bike that I had, it had to be about 2001. I bought a brand new Cannondale, and that was the last one. It was really nice, and I rode it, you know, for a couple of years, and then I sold it. But, I got upright handlebars now. I got a 77 Schwinn single speed, so it's not going fast. If I was going to go fast around here on these back roads in the middle of the night or something, you got to be careful with the gear.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have a route I do early morning that when I ride it, I swear all the deer know me. They just stand by the side of the road. I wave at them or say kind words like good morning, and they just watch me, no problem. Earlier this season, there was a point that I thought there was like one or two new deer. Didn't know what to do when I came riding by. You know, it's for these routes, it's the wild turkeys I have to worry about.
Oh, sure, those are big animals too, no doubt.
And I admit, I am prepared to cook a turkey dinner at any given impact. But seriously, I was riding up the Sawyer on that on the Marquette Greenway Trail, and there were some turkeys that were crossing at one point, and I start ringing the bicycle bell, and I swear they knew what that was. I go, that's a new one. You know, they stopped in their tracks, and I just, you know, they weren't on the trail. Well, big sidewalk. This is something close to Union Pier. And I thought, okay, I'll just keep going. And no problem there. And as I passed, I looked to the left, and on that property, there was like seven more. It's like, man, we've got a couple families of turkeys out here.
Yeah, there's a lot of them out there anymore, all around here. I mean, I'm in Stark County, but I mean, there's plenty of turkey and deer.
The scary thing is, if they're around, the coyotes are going to get any closer. And on one of my routes close to home, and I'm geographically, I'm basically center of Mission City. But anyway, there was this one little field I would ride by, and there was, on a regular basis, like every Sunday morning, I could ride by, and there's a coyote there just sunning himself. Now, those are beautiful animals, you know. If I could have one as a pet, I probably would. But, you know, it's like, okay, if he's following the food trail, who else is? It can only get worse. Because I know there's a couple red foxes in my neighborhood. but I can't get them to hang around long enough for me to talk to them. I just see them in passing, you know, say hello, and they just keep going about their business.
Yeah, it's rare to see them, see a fox or a coyote. Usually they're pretty, they keep away, but occasionally you see them, I guess, you know. I saw a coyote a while back, a couple months ago, but it was just, you know, quick glance and he was gone.
You know, if they live close to man long enough, some of that's natural. You know, like we also have wild rabbits floating around the cottontails, and there is a distinct difference in personality compared to the ones you'd find more out in the wild, more out in the country, okay? You know, they keep more of a distance. And I swear the same thing goes with, like, the coyotes and the foxes and that. You know, their bravery should not be confused with friendliness. And it still might be, you know, because none of us are hunting them. We may try to scare them off, but we're not hunting them, and they know it. That's how I look at it. But there was something else I had on that thought, and it just went past me. But you know, you can make, in my opinion, you can make a distinction. Okay, that's a city animal now.
Yeah, I like to say that I'm infested with rabbits over here, but I got quite a few. But they're not scared at all. I mean, if I go outside and, like, you know, charge them, just run a little bit, they stop after about 10 feet, and they just look at me.
Hey, copy that. Whatever, growing up, whatever came into my yard, I try to make friends with, you know. And it was rather interesting to see these animals, how they end up, let's just say, complying with our wishes. You know, the best one of them all, we had this mother robin. About that, we always had some robin every year would build a nest by the downspout where it meets, you know, the house. Well, this one, every morning I go to work and I say, hi, Mrs. Robin, you know, have a good day, come back. Now, we were putting water out for her, fresh water every day, fill her odds and ends. Well, it got to the point that now she's feeding her chicks, right? Well, I'll come home from work and I see that she's looking for worms and that, so I get out the garden hose and I start hosing part of the lawn down, right? Well, it got to the point that when I would do that, and she did that two times when my dad was with me, she'd come by, land by her feet, and just stand there. You know, I'm like, well, we didn't teach her that. We were just trying to be nice, right? And there's some other stuff to the story which was rather interesting, but that was our first sign that, hey, you know, somehow she's talking to us, and we've got a friend here.
Yeah, they can learn a lot, and, you know, I used to feed all the birds. I had those suet feeders and the regular seed feeders, but I was attracting too many deer and too many raccoons, so now I just got my hummingbird feeders up, and nobody bothers those. The deer, you know, I couldn't figure it out. I put out a full thing of seed, and the next morning it was all gone, and I finally figured it out. The deer were getting over there and sticking their tongues in there and slurping all the seed out of there. So I put a cage around it, and that stopped them for a while, but then the raccoon figured out the cage, and he would, you know, he would take it all apart.
Hey, copy that, yeah. Those raccoons are smart. And I had a neighbor that was just getting so upset because they were always getting in, always getting into her garbage, stuff like that. Dad makes a joke to her, says, you know, if you make friends with them, they won't be doing that. So she started leaving some table scraps and so forth. Next thing you know it, nobody's trashing trash in her garbage anymore. Yes, she's got somebody that comes by every night and cleans the dish out. And I guess old Rocky figured that dish was for him.
Well, it's pretty wild. Well, all I know is I had to stop the... it was attracting too many critters. And then I was getting all the chipmunks and everything and tiny squirrels. And I said, okay, that's enough.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's what happens. The whole food chain shows up. You're helping one part of it, and the rest tries to get in on it. Now, I'm going over I-94 right now. Man, that eastbound traffic is slow, but that's construction. But, I'm on a section of Johnson Road, but, there's a lot of construction I had to bypass. Whether this road is open or not right now, I didn't want to go through that. It's behind me, that's like I said, with what deer is coming around and see one coyote, there's bound to be, there's going to be more. You know what I mean? Or something like that. And, I like seeing them, but this is a city. This could be a problem, you know? I haven't seen any possum in a few years. They're probably around, but we know we got some of that.
Yeah, I'm definitely not in the city down here where I'm at, and we got all of them around here. Them deer really ate a lot of my flowers, and I have some fencing up around my garden so I can keep them away from certain things, but they ate up all the flowers and the hostas around the house. They really did a lot of work on them.
After that, I had a neighbor for 2 years decided, I'm in the city, right? They decided they wanted to have a chicken coop and chickens, they were quiet, so it really didn't bother me. We got some of the eggs. Oh, that was good, But that neighbor was a fairly new neighbor. And so he didn't take it wrong, but I had to warn him. I go, there's some wildlife around here. You better keep eyeing those chickens, because I do know a few red foxes. And at the time, I couldn't honestly say we got coyotes. But I know they were around, And at least he didn't have any problems on that end. But he did know somebody tried to break into that chicken coop, on more than one occasion. So we never really heard any noises to for us to know that. He might have, and I don't remember him talking about it, but that was one of those scenarios. Had like at least six chickens at one point.
Could definitely be a raccoon trying to get them eggs. Raccoons are good at opening up things.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, no, they're called bandits for a reason, right?
That's right.
I gotta figure out what this one car wants to do. Yeah, I got a cross 20 at this point. So let's see, am I lucky to get the light here? And, they're close to it. Got the left turning, and I don't need that. But I got one set of lights I didn't wear tonight. I actually got a vest that's lined with neon, like a neon wire. Changes colors, and you got this big hub on the back that makes me look like Tron. And that does a good job of. I'm pretty well lit as it is right now, but that's one of those added touches. If you were to look up Knox here, I forget the model, the name of what I got, but that's the company that makes it. Got that a few years ago when I started being serious about riding at night.
Yeah, that's a good idea, no doubt. Hey, WW, you still out there? Rob, how are you doing on them brats? Well, John, I think we chased them off.
Bad. Blame me for it. I'll take the heat for it.
Yeah, I came up to the tailgate fest, ham fest, this weekend for a short time. I had my mom with me, and she couldn't do too much, but I couldn't really leave her at home either.
Well, I hope to whatever level you both enjoyed it.
Oh yeah, I liked it. Mom's happy to just get out. She's up there in years now, so I got to take care of her. So my brother helps a little bit now, so that's helping. But it's a lot of, it's a lot.
I can imagine. I was in a similar boat with my father. Now my sister, who's out of state, she's handling Ma, and Ma will be turning 97 later this month, and if not, it's 98, and I flipped the gear.
Yeah, my mom's 89 now, and she's got issues,
Well, what's funny at the moment, my mom, she can't believe I've been doing all the bicycling I've been doing. Okay, I won't argue that one. I just sort of laugh at it because I try to show her paperwork. Look, I done a century ride. No, you didn't. That goes to another John Phillips. Okay, don't know if she's joking or not. I hope she ain't losing her mind. And, but I'm like, okay, no problem with that one.
Yeah, I never did any kind of organized rides like that, but I did, when I lived in Illinois, Dundee, I took the trail all the way up to Wisconsin and back, and that was about an 85 miles trip. And it didn't even take all that long. I had a recumbent bike I was riding then, a Cannondale, was it a Cannondale? Yeah, Cannondale, I forget what they called it. But it was an odd-looking recumbent, but it was a lot of fun. And I left, I think, about 2 in the afternoon, and I got back when it was already a little dark. But it wasn't even really that long.
Hey, copy that. Yeah. I've done a number of organized rides over the years, but the longest time, it was weird. I didn't even think to myself, I should be able to do something more than 50. I admit I'm riding with my buddies, stuff like that. So last year, I officially did my first and second century ride, and I really did do it in some good time. I followed some people that were, I thought was a match. They were actually better than I, and yeah, I kept up. That was sort of a drive. They're all younger than me, but there was, long rides at any speed. I've done, there's this stuff I've done. Now tonight, my average speed ain't worth a whole lot in one aspect, but it's been a great evening, and so far I've got 4 hours in the saddle.
Man, that's a lot. Yeah. Well, if I go on my trail back here, I can go from where I'm at. I'm right at the end of the trail, the end of the pavement. It's on an old railroad right away. I can go right up to North Judson, so
It's about 12 miles one way, and if you go do it both, it's like 24. And, you know, I certainly am not trying to go fast.
That's the other thing, too, that's happened to me recent years. I'm realizing how many trails have gotten paved. I'm like, okay, I got to enjoy this. Because I spent quite a few years mountain biking. So that was, you know, for the most part off-road. But if I was on the road, I'm going down the road with thick knobs. So, last 2 years I haven't gotten on the mountain bike for that. But I did, 2 years back, I did put road tires on that mountain bike. Love the way that thing rode. And this pit special that I'm on, I think fits me even better. And I didn't think that was going to happen. But that was just it. I could say a lot of my riding in the past, I've got all this time that may not be a whole lot of miles, but it was just more saddle time, you know, in off-road, just enjoying that. The Marquette, Marquette Greenway, also my area, really the wording would be the Calumet Trail, like going from Michigan City to Highway 49. That was all off-road, but it's, you know, dirt, some gravel, and a lot of water, mud puddles, that's what I want to say, stuff that you couldn't go around, you had to go through.
Yeah, I hear you on that. How many of those pit specials were made?
Actually, this is serial number one. Alan wanted to have a better bike. He was a bit of a rider back in the day. And he wanted something that would be the equivalent of like a mountain bike, and there was no such thing back then. So the triangle frame is it's only like 20,000 thick, but it was the aircraft grade chromoly that he was building the frames with. So this is something he did in a little spare time for himself. And I'm not sure if he built any more for the family, but he at least built it for himself and did a lot of miles with it. I even got the original leather saddle. It's a Brooks saddle, and it survived all these years.
So that's pretty cool. Yeah, I got a 77 Schwinn, and I took off the Schwinn wheels and tires, and I put on some 700C alloys, and I got some Continental 110-pound clinchers on there, and they're pretty skinny. They're only about an inch and an eighth. And got a Shimano coaster brake in the back, and I got a nice caliper brake in the front, and I got a Brooks saddle on there too. Handlebars are not drop. They're just regular style handlebars. So it's like a regular cruising bike.
Hey, copy that. Yeah, this by today's standards you might call Frankenstein's monster. But it's how you would build a bike back then. So the crank is French. The hubs are Belgium. The rims, I think the rims are Belgium, is, you know, as well. So you got Shimano derailleurs, Dicomp brakes. Let's see, what else can I describe on it? But oh yeah, the seat stem is not a standard size because of the chromoly tubing he used. So here's the kicker. So I took the closest size I could buy because I wanted a different stem for adjustability, and I had to shave that down. I think that was that probably is another 20,000, but I actually had to put that in a lathe, turn it down to fit this thing. And I guess this was really common back in the 60s. You may even start out with a Japanese kit and then
throw a hardware that you weld onto to the frame material of your choice.
Can you run a lathe? I work on clocks and watches, and I got a mini lathe. You know, I can do that kind of stuff, and I got a mill attachment.
Yeah, I've got from the 50s. It was my dad's. An old 9-inch South Bend lathe. And I've been fluent with it since 6th grade. So in this hobby, you could just imagine how many coils I've wound with that lathe just to start out with. I think I was 8th grade when I turned my first screw thread. And that was actually, I cut on PVC pipe a form for an antenna coil. And,
very cool, very cool. You're getting kind of quiet. I don't know if you're, what area you're in. 89TY. John, can you hear me?
Yeah, did you lose me?
You got pretty quiet for a moment there.
Okay, well, that might be my location, but I'll tell you, I did pull up to my driveway, so I may not be talking as loud. That can always do something. I got this headset set up for louder talk, like when I'm going down the road with noise around me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you got a heck of a setup there. Maybe someday I'll see it.
Well, lately I've been riding to the club meeting, so that's one possibility.
Well, we'll see what happens. You know,
it's
hard for me to get out and do stuff. We'll see what the heck happens. That's all I can say. One of the reasons why I got into the ham radio too, I did CB many years ago, but now I'm sitting here. I'm sitting with my feet up at my desk, you know, and so I can do something that I don't have to go anywhere or anything.
Yeah, that sounds comfortable. Yeah, I keep reinventing the wheel over the years. I've been licensed since 83, so I'm an old fart at this.
Yeah, I just did this just in 25. I got all my tickets, all three. So I'm good to go with that, and we'll see whatever other kind of radio I get. Right now, this is the only one. Well, I got a HT. I got a little HT also, but I don't really use it. But I'd like to get some kind of HF and put up another antenna.
Hey, copy that. Well, I'll give you a teaser. I haven't finished it. It's a matter of programming and then tuning it up. I just keep running out of time because I want to get some of this bicycling in, too. But I made a little QMX radio, and I'm going to be doing some low band off the bike. I've done that for years on a motorcycle with a full mobile low band radio, and 132,000 miles worth of HF. And I've done some HF on this bike with Yaesu 817 over the years, but this would be nice. It's all nice, compact, and it's QRP, which is fine. That's going to be interesting. That's going to be maybe in another week I'll have that all on the bike and working the way I want it. It'd probably only take me an hour to program that radio and check it out, but either way the game goes, that's something else for me to rattle about.
Oh, that sounds pretty cool. Give you another facet. And the QRP would probably won't suck up too much juice.
Yeah, we'll see what happens, because right now I basically have a battery that would power everything. So one extra cord ain't going to hurt me. I got a nice little thing of split-loom tubing that goes from the trunk up forward to where I have the radio. And know, I got things to a certain convenience if I have to service it too. You know that I got a couple of these bungee cords for tying everything. You know, you use for bundling up cable. I use to hold that foot loop in a few spots. So it's just like I undo a couple of those and everything can come off. Whether it's service or just to wash the bike.
Okay. What type of motorcycles have you ridden? I worked at a motorcycle shop over here.
Oh, my V65 Sabre. I admit it. It's an 85. I got with 8,300 miles on it. That's got all the HF, all the long-range stuff on it. And I got 132,000 miles total. And change that I put on her. I took her cross country. And I've always had the pleasure of more than one bike at any given time. This worked out that way. And then the other bike is a 98 Heritage Classic. That's the carburetors. And that one I made my own baffles for the long shot. So it's a tuned exhaust. I had some fun beefing that thing up. But that V65, piloting that bike, you know, she'll go down the road like a Goldwing, but you just think about going faster, and that bike is right there. So it's got the full fairing on it. I've got side boxes that I made for it, and it's something to be seen.
Pretty cool. Yeah, what did I have? 03 Electroglide. I had that. And then I worked over at Kirstein's. I was the Yamaha manager. I worked in the Yamaha shop, and then they had Harley Davidson on the other side. But I was there for like 7.5 years, and I'm retired now. So, but yeah, I don't have a bike either. But I'm fine. I go over to the museum. I got a museum there, so I go over there and hang out with Randy Kirstein. And the museum is cool. Every time I go in there, it doesn't matter how many times I've been there. We got everything.
Oh, yeah, I know that place. Yeah. I haven't gone there for any need for the Harley. I haven't been down there since Herman died. It just happened to be that way. When he was still alive, I had a little suspension work that I just didn't want to touch on at Heritage, and I took it to them, and go from there. But, yeah, I definitely know that museum. But I'll tell you, the other bike I got, it was my first bike. You might get a kick out of this. 1967 CB160, and it runs.
Very nice. Yeah, all those bikes, the Japanese bikes, are a lot of money now, the old ones. I had a 72 CB450 two-cylinder. I had so much fun with that, and I only paid like $300 for it, and just like a lot of other things, you know, it's long gone.
Yeah, I'll tell you one thing that you might get a kick out of. Is that on that V65, now I've been, in one form or another, I've been hit a few times being on the bike. I had a Calac drive up the back tire of that CV160. And when I pulled myself off the ground, Vin got hurt. That lady was screaming at me to take my, you know, get my hands off her Cadillac. And I did a drum roll on that, I was a teenager. I did a drum roll on that hood. And, you know, she didn't like that. And then she yelled, "Faker, faker, faker," when I requested to go to the ER. I know my back hurts. And that was an interesting one. Then with the V65, I had a Chevy Equinox, decided to take my lane. I put a groove in that new car like you would believe. He tried to get the insurance. They almost had my insurance believing it was my fault. But just that side box, which is a converted ammo box, but it doesn't look like it when I got done with it. He had put such a groove in his car, and I'm like, okay, how can it be my fault when the back end of my bike tore up his front end? And you know, and where I'm going with this is my dad once explained to me there's only three motorcycles you ride in life. The one you train on, the one you escape from, and the one you die on. And I'm like, Dad, you're talking about fighter pilots. You know, same thing. Okay. Yeah, so I've had a lot of miles, and those are a couple of the highlights. Even got hit by a deer and stayed up. Hit a dog, stayed up. And not really much to prove those incidences on that D-65. It's great having a engine guard.
Well, it sounds like you've had some fun with them. Oh man, yeah, it was fun working at the motorcycle shop, but I'm happy not working right now.
Hey, copy that. Yeah, all I can claim in the motorcycle end is I'm a tuner. Okay, I've done some nice things over the years. Just adjusting the valves on that D65. You know, there's a trick to that. Otherwise, you'll get it. You do all the right things, and you still get it wrong. And I had prior experience to that B65, somebody else's. You know, but I tell you, this is the one you get a laugh out of. To get at those tappets, if you're not familiar, you know, it's a single overhead valve, an overhead cam. So you got a rocker that's pushing two valves down. There's four valves, you know, per cylinder. Well, I had to take the feeler gauge, you know, the blade out of the handle. So I got a string tied to it, so if I drop it, I can retrieve it. You know, at some point that string undid itself, and down where the camshaft chain is, down the blade went.
Yep. When I was at the shop there, I remember there was pieces of a feeler gauge found in one of the bikes, one of the Yamahas that our mechanic was working on. Of course, anytime something weird was like that happened, he'd always call everybody over to take a look.
Well, the V65 is not as bad as you think. So what do I do? Easily, I drop the pan. You know I'm going to do an oil change when I get done anyway, right? Well, I drop the pan, and I still don't see that feeler blade, right? What? I'm a smart person for this scenario. I put down a towel on the bench, I flip the oil pan over, I tap it a few times, pick up the oil pan, and there's my blade. So I wasn't in panic mode yet. But if I couldn't find a blade, yes, I'm going to be in panic mode.
That is one tool that they had over there in the shop. The magnet on a long extendable stick.
See, in my scenario, I don't know if I could have went fishing. You know, either a small magnet on a string or something to go down. You have to see what's all in the way. You know, that's what part of the problem is. Because see, at one point I have to pull the radiator. I did not want to pull that fairing off. So I got it. I have it unbolted. It's propped. I got room. But there are certain gymnastics I had to do. So I adjusted the valves at 37,000, and then at 80,000 was the last time I checked them, and it's like they didn't move. I'm like, oh great, this thing is seasoned. Okay, if the adjustment was needed, it was only by the feel of that feeler gauge that you could say, okay, one valve's tighter than the other. but you would have no problem going in there with the feeler gauge, and you know what I mean? But I had a buddy that had the V45 Magna, and I was forever putting that machine back together for him. That's how I learned how to do clutches. He ended up burning up the clutches. He was racing everybody. And you know, because of him, I said, I need a V series, but no 45, I'm getting a 65.
Well, it's probably got a lot of miles on it. You know, I mean, when you race everybody and you beat them up kind of hard, you don't usually get as many miles because you wear them out.
Yep, but man, Gordon was taking on bikes bigger than that. So that V45, that's a 750, basically. I'm 1100. But he was taking on quite a few people and winning, and it was just, man, it had to have been upsetting them. And so a couple times during the summer, I would put my mercury gauges on, make sure all the carbs were balanced. I did put a jet kit in for him at one point, but he was already doing great. Man, those were the days, you know what I mean? Yeah, I sort of lived through him a little bit. He gave up the bike due to marriage and starting a family. And happy he did, because sooner or later I think things would have turned ugly. He kept on horsing around with that bike.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, but it does come with its, you know, the risks. But, well, nowadays, some of these new bikes, I think they're just stupid fast.
Well, that's just it. I had another buddy that had, had good things happen. But he had that Hallabusa, and he had the dealership put 13-to-1 cans in there to start with. I had to help him out on that fuel system, because at one point that stock fuel pump could not handle what he did to that machine. And I've machined some parts for him, so he'd have a really slick install. So picture this, you'll like this. It's a hollow stem on the triple tree, and there's nothing there, right? So I machined a fitting that put a natural pressure gauge for his fuel, went on it with a set of O-rings, so it just was pushed down nicely into that stem. And then out the bottom I had nylon, like 8-inch tubing, to go back to the, you know, to the fuel system to read fuel pressure. And the only thing I didn't do is make that gauge light up. But just that little brass fitting, like I said, to slide in there. And I'm sort of proud of it. You know, it's something simple. There was other things I did for him, so it's just, you could tuck under the cowling in the back the new fuel pump. But he goes, yeah, I have to use all these parts to do this. I go, okay, I'll start machining.
Well, that sounds like fun. Yeah, there's some of the new things are just, they're just crazy fast. I don't know. Oh, man.
Yeah, I've had some good history without getting in trouble. But I tell you, the one funny thing I gotta say, and then I'm going to get running inside. 3:30 is my wake-up time. I might even do a bicycle ride in the morning for a half hour. But when I first got that V65, I'm cruising in Michigan City one afternoon, and for a short time, it seemed like everybody wanted to challenge me, and thinking I'm the new punk on the block. And this one, he spent a whole afternoon egging me on. You know, it only cost me 100 feet to show him that I'm the better rider. because I stupid me, I'm going to rate him. Okay. I got it out of the hole, and he looks like he's still standing still, and I'm 100 feet down the road. I let him catch up. I grab the throttle again and say goodbye to him. I never went past 6 grand. I can honestly tell you that. But just to blow his wheels off, I think that initially was only 4,000 RPM, you know. I did know how to launch the bike, so I had perfect hookup. He did, and I know it was a 900. I can't remember what that cross rocket was, but never saw that guy again. But it took a whole afternoon of cruising to get me wound up.
Oh, that's good. Well, going completely the other way, I was over at Kirsting's the other day in the museum talking to Randy. He's gonna take a 1910 Harley, single cylinder, 4 horsepower, take it down to Newton, Indiana, and gonna do the first week of October, gonna do the hill climb, and see if he can make it up there. He said his dad didn't make it up. He had to turn around. He had to make a U-turn and come down. He didn't have enough. But Randy's gonna give it a shot.
Interesting. Did you say 4 horsepower?
1910 Harley Davidson, what they called the Silent Gray Fellow, is what they called it. Yeah, 4 horsepower. It's a tiny little motor, and I want to go down and see him try this. And they say that there's 100,000 people come to see this when they do this stuff.
Interesting. I used to know some history, and I obviously don't remember anything right now, but it's just like hill climb and 4 horsepower. That's just, you know what I mean? One bike that reminds me, just for what it's worth, I had a little Harley 90 single cylinder two stroke ages ago. You know, the Italian made jobby? That was the $50 junk box special, and boy, it didn't take much for me to get that thing running great. Here's the punchline. That transmission was stiff enough that it acted like it only had 3 gears. I mean, I could go to what I thought was first gear and pick it up and pop it in neutral, right? So I thought nothing of it at first. And just the way it took off. When I found those extra gears, because that was like a 6-speed. That first gear, that thing was old. Now, this is an off-road machine, all right. This had a separate oiler. And, did I hit the trails with that sucker.
Yeah, over the years, Harley Davidson tried a lot of different ways to make more money. I mean, they had golf carts. I think they had a couple snowmobiles. And then what you're talking about, yeah, the Aramakis, the Italian line they had there, and they tried a lot of different things over the years.
Yeah, and then I ended up selling that bike, and the person I sold it to, you had even more fun. So a year later, they're knocking on my door, hey, could you do some service for us? And I'm thinking, what happened? Okay, am I, you know? There wasn't much, but they thought, well, you told us this, told us that. If you don't want to help us, at least, is there any secrets we need to know? him and his dad show up, and good people. But that back tire was just slicker than anything. Those were new tires. So I put new tires on, and then that linkage for the rear brake, you know, for the pedal, they broke that. And I just made up a new linkage, you know. And so that really wasn't a problem, giving a tune-up. We were all happy. But, that made my heart stop at one point. Hi, guys. What's up?
Well, it sounds like he had some fun with it. Probably every single time, burnout.
Yeah, and I know what trail the kid was basically on. So, hey, more power to him. Because
we had this long stretch in Michigan City that you follow these big NIPSCO towers, and most of the streets you were crossing really wasn't busy. But you'd go across like the whole width of Michigan City, you know, County Line Road going east to, you'd cross 35, and there's a bridge you could go over, and there was this beautiful turnaround for the train. Okay, it's just a train bridge you'd have to get, and that was a whole new world, you know, but it was a nice openness that just, you know, just did it good, and that's mostly what that kid did. And it was a street legal bike, but all they were concerned about was being off-road.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, pretty good. All right, I think I'm gonna shut her down. It's after 10. I've had about enough for the day.
This has been a great cue, so on that, and I do appreciate you coming back to me and following me home. it's nothing else. It really puts me at a good frame of mind because I'm already enjoying the bike, you know, and because really. You know, everything I'm on is normal stuff, but it's always nice to have someone to ride along, you know?
Oh, I hear you. After, I don't know, it was over a month ago when we were talking about, on the net, about your bike, and that's when I asked you about what kind of setup you had on there, what kind of antenna and all that, so, yeah.
Yeah, my coverage south of Union Mills wasn't the greatest today, it seems, but this one antenna that I like using, I keep on thinking it, even though it tunes up fine, I'm thinking I got to go through it or do something. Almost like I think I'm missing something in efficiency, you know. But either way the game goes, I do have a similar size antenna that is new out of the box, and that I could always try next time I'm out that way, and see what I get away with, but, it still works out good for me. That's the main thing there, but on this repeater here, I can make it up to Sawyer, Michigan, hold everything good, so, you know. I'm not paying attention to all the train I'm on, but at least I know a few points that I do a good job getting out, so it's a good peace of mind, because tonight, while we were riding, there wasn't much cell coverage. It was just showing up in Union Mills. My phone was saying, like, emergency use only, you know? And, well, if we had a problem, this would be a good night. I could serve somebody else. But it was a good ride.
It sounds like you've been doing a lot of rides. Yeah, I gotta try to do a few more. I did a couple this week, but nothing very long. But that's fine. At least I'm getting out there again. Ever since I got Mom here, I can't just leave when I want to all the time.
Yeah, well, I'll brag. I've gone over 1,000 miles for this year, and it's a little bit less than what I did last year at this time. But the one guy I ride with, Tim, 69 years old, and he's already got 3,400 miles in. Well, he's retired, so I can understand part of that. But if you knew the little list of medical that being on the bike has solved or improved for him, you know, he's going gung-ho. He wants to do 5,000 this year. But, and this is a short version of the story, but it's like, boy, I don't know if I could do that next year, but that's my goal. I got to try to be like him.
Well, my encouragement to you, and I think I'm going to just do the casual rides I've been doing and enjoying it.
I'm just not going to, I can't do it. It's just going to be too much for me. I got too many other things to do, and riding the bike is fine, but I can't do it as much as you're doing. I just can't. I know it.
No, there's nothing wrong with that. You have to enjoy it. Whatever the mileage is, you have to enjoy it. Otherwise, you're not enjoying it, you feel like you have to do it, or, you know, whatever. There is something missing in the mix. Me, I'm, some of this mileage is, I'm actually working out some ailments. And it's keeping all the arthritis in check. So I, to give you the short version of it, but my friend Tim, he's got an interesting scenario. And but in both our cases, we've got doctors that are literally trying to do everything they can to make sure we stay on our bike. Keep doing what you're doing. Your body is benefiting. Okay. He goes, the bike will take care of this problem, and then we'll take care of that problem, because the bike makes that problem minor. But it takes care of the first thing. Okay. So that's a short version of it. But hey, how it should be. And like I said, I gotta get running inside and all that good stuff here. But yeah, really, really, like I said, once again, really appreciate the ride along tonight.
All right, John, you got it. I'm gonna stutter down. AD9GY. You have a good one.
AD9GY, KA9PGC, and yeah, 73, and have a good one yourself. And maybe next Wednesday, definitely catch you again. Cause I don't know where that ride is, but I'm trying to do something every Wednesday with a group and get in there. Like I said, doing me some justice. Hey, take care. KA9PGC.
Come to the Elkhart East Ham Fest Saturday, August 1st, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Northern Indiana Event Center, 21565 Executive Parkway, Elkhart, Indiana 46514.